Hey, hi, welcome back, or for the first time, who knows? But hey, this is TV Casualty, the podcast about TV shows I've never seen, and today I am here with a friend of mine, and you may know him from his bands, or the comic books he's written, or the podcast that he does or has done, and just generally from the internet, maybe? But yeah, here today I'm here with Patrick Kinlan.
Bit of a renaissance man, by your description.
A long resume.
You made it sound so pathetic, too.
Did
you may know him from the internet.
I don't know.
That's true enough. People bump into me at Whole Foods and are like, really like your tweets, dude. That's like the faintest praise I've ever gotten in my life.
Yeah, I went to the movies a couple weeks ago for my friend's birthday, and there was like a big group of people there, and a friend of mine brought her friend, and I was like, oh, hey, nice to meet you. And she's like, oh, I follow you on Twitter. And I was just like, I don't know what to do here now with this social interaction. Well, nice to meet you.
Well, that puts you in a spot my mother asked me how my eye was.
Yeah.
And I definitely never spoke to my mother about my eye because I don't like to worry her, and it was like falling out of my face.
Yeah.
So I said, how did you hear about my eye? And she goes, I go on your Twitter once in a while. And I'm like, Ma, it's like 80% me talking about jism or
you
know what I mean? Like, and it made me think about all the people who, the way that, I don't know if you get really horny and look up people you went to high school with.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, all right. I assume.
Yeah, I'm gross.
I wonder how many people, although now reflecting on the egoism that it requires for me to believe that people are looking me up to masturbate to me.
Yeah.
But let's put it to the side for a second. I was thinking, man, I wonder how many people have looked me up either in a personal, oh, let me catch up with this dude I know, or professional capacity, and just seen me tweeting like, oh, I just stole Mariah Carey's handbag and I jizzed in it, you know what I mean? And like,
yeah,
and it got me thinking that I should probably retire from social media and public life altogether.
Yeah, everyone I know that is like not on social media, it seems like the happiest person I know.
Okay, controversial topic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I love it already.
Online, you see a lot of talk about cultural appropriation.
Yeah.
And my girl and I are both plugged into the internet, and her coworker is this pretty little white girl who has, like, maybe the most quote-unquote black-looking hair I've ever seen, right?
Okay.
Like, so she's got the braids that are, like, not cool to have if you're online, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I said to my girl, I said, oh, shit, she ever get a – you ask her if she ever gets a word on that? Like, people ever say anything to her? And she said, I did, actually. I didn't know how to ask, like, delicately. And she just said – she looked at me like I was crazy and told me everybody just thinks they're lit. And I was like – oh, yo, I forget. The world outside the internet is way cooler.
Yeah.
It's not people just yelling at each other all day. It's people being like, oh, hey, that's a nice look on you.
Yeah,
how
that's great.
How much that costs? You look nice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I've been trying to – I know this is a funny podcast. I saw something online that pissed me off so bad that I had like a minor meltdown, because when people attack me online, there's like a feeling of exceptionalism. They're attacking me because I'm like – pretty popular. And these haters are just coming out of the woodwork to bring me the fuck down. But obviously that's delusional. People just take shots at literally anything and everything all day.
Yeah.
But I saw something that had nothing. So when people take shots at me, generally it's sport. It's like, okay, let's get into it then, my dude.
Yeah.
Oh, you got a goofy avatar. Guess what, my motherfucker, you're going to go down. So, but when I witnessed somebody who is just like a bland rising pop star, like one of these, like, you know, these people that you and I don't know because we're over a certain age, where like somebody who started on YouTube and now is like a pop sort of you know, the sort of person in the like 75,000 followers range, okay, where it's like a cult pop star, which is a weird idea, right?
But it's like a girl who does like weird like radio station events and stuff
So I was looking at a scandal. I don't want to call it a scandal. This sounds stupid. The shit of the day. You know what I mean? And somebody was
like the little uproar.
Yeah. And somebody was attacking her for like true bullshit, like something that is like not real and true bullshit and manufactured in that person's head. And then when that pop star addressed it and was like, hey, I just saw some people talking about this today, I just want to be clear, blah, blah, and clarified it that this person's thing was bullshit, right?
Yeah.
The original hater, the original fucking weirdo, then said, look what I did. Added the girl and said, hey, I think this is an important dialogue. If you want to continue it, please DM me. And I almost threw my computer thinking, you fucking nothing ass weasel. you insignificant worm.
Yeah.
Like this person, now don't get me wrong, I never heard this woman's music. It's probably dog shit if I had to guess, yeah, right? But like and now by talking about this, I don't know what your listenership is, but definitely some bizarre little goblin is manufacturing a reason to attack me.
Yeah.
But
when there's perfectly good reasons to attack.
I mean, they're numerous. but when I saw like, oh, you don't need to be a loudmouth. You can just exist. And some worthless, do nothing, have nothing, think nothing piece of shit is going to fucking crawl out of their fucking little hole in the ground to be like, I'm going to take a shot at you because you got some visibility. Fuck you. It made me so discouraged about people that I was like, yo, I can only post photos of dogs for the next fucking 3 months because I goddamn, I don't want to engage with a human being.
Yeah.
But now, I guess to jump off, to continue the thought, now that I think of it, though, life, we just said in real life is much cooler.
Yeah.
But the people that just, like the same way, let's say this, the person that attempts to talk to strangers online, their analog in real life is just as fucking annoying, because I find people that talk to me, like, unsolicited.
Oh, yeah.
In New York, to be the worst selection of fucking human beings, I'd rather deal with an internet troll. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because then you can just turn off.
Yeah,
I'll
mute your little ass. Yeah, I'll close the fucking thing. But like, New York, I forgot because I avoid this place so much. I hate it. Like when we used to get routed tours here, I'd be like, "Can we? Is this a sick day? Fuck this motherfucking place."
Yeah,
and it's a place that we do pretty well for our small ass band. So like, I always end up playing it, and really it's fine, it's good, whatever. Parking sucks, but now I essentially live here.
Yeah.
And you have no idea. I hope my girl doesn't listen to this because I'm trying to keep a stiff upper lip for her and be like, yeah, city's cool.
I love this place.
Oh, there's 90 degrees? This is sick. Yeah. I love this. 100% humidity? Oh, it's not going to rain, is it? Nope. I'm just going to stay
I just got to be, and I work outside all day long. This is great. This is what I wanted in my life.
So, I forgot the depths of idiocy that the average New Yorker is willing to drag you into. You know what I mean? So, like, you can just be doing anything, literally anything, and somebody who you don't know will. It's like the unsolicited spotter at the gym, like the dude, like a dude at the gym that's like, oh, you want some suggestions on your form? You got to lift up a little. You're not bending enough. Yo, fuck you. I didn't ask you. It's weird as fuck that you would offer me that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Please stop analyzing my body. I don't want that one bit.
Yeah. Like, who asked for that? So, but that's how it is. I realize this because there's raccoons in Central Park.
Yeah.
And I like to feed them. And you'd be shocked when you're feeding a raccoon and just enjoying these weird little creatures with these human-like hands that, like, take the little pieces of potato chip or bread from you and eat them at like little weird North American monkeys.
Yeah.
And the joy that you're getting out of that, and how some fucking 50-year-old nerd will just walk up and be like, you really shouldn't do that. They're wild animals. Motherfucker. Motherfucker. Who the fuck asked you?
Yeah, it's like, you're like, yo, I have one thing in this whole city
I
like to do.
And straight up, what makes you think I would stop for you? You know what I mean? Like, who are you? Do you have a handgun? If you got a handgun, I'll stop right now.
Yeah, I'll do whatever.
But like, I get so irritated when someone, because here's my belief. I told my girl this today, and she said, wow, that's really bleak. Like, you know what I mean? That's really dark. But I'm of the belief that if you got to tell somebody something, they'll never change. So, like, the person who gets to the bottom of the stairs at the subway or the top of the stairs at the subway and stops.
Ugh, Jesus Christ.
You could yell at that person. And I see it. People do. Yeah. You know what I mean? You could yell at that person and say, hey, excuse me, there's people behind you. And they will move. So in the moment, you'll have satisfaction. But if you're deluded into believing that that person will change their behavior, if you didn't realize that stopping at the bottom of the fucking stairs was a dumb thing to do, there's no saving you. You're not going to change that behavior.
You're done.
So that's how I am with feeding the raccoons. Motherfucker, I know it's a wild animal. It probably got rabies. But if you think I'm going to stop, you're fucking insane.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So bottom line, I'm saying New York is Twitter.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's just people offering you suggestions and fucking criticisms that you didn't ask for, you didn't solicit. You know what I mean? You don't know them. Strangers. How the fuck do you take a criticism from a stranger? You could be a child molester. I don't know who the fuck you are. Why are you talking to me?
I was at a bar last night for my roommate's birthday party thing. And it was like a kind of nice bar in like Nolita, like down in Manhattan. And it was just like, I remember there was this dude inside that was yelling, and we were just like, oh, cool. The yelling guy's here. Great.
Yeah.
And he was, but he was like an old, he was probably in his like 40s.
A bar staple.
Yeah. Yeah. And just, it's like 1 o'clock and we're like, okay, this seems to be more than enough time at this place. And we walk outside and I just sit down on a planter while everyone's smoking cigarettes and like waiting to leave. And the yelling guy comes outside and just looks at me and goes, no love. And I went, what? I was like so confused. And I was like, no love for this place? And then I look up and I see that he has like a fresh wound on his face.
Rightfully so. I hope somebody kicked him in the head.
Yeah. And then I was just like, I don't know what you're talking about. And he went, ugh, and just walked away.
He's the free hug guy.
Yeah. Oh, he's who's that fucking street performer? That guy, you know that guy, Matthew Silver? You ever seen him? He's like a dude who hangs out around Union Square. He's wearing like a woman's one piece bathing suit and has like crazy hair.
Listen,
and it's like you know, it's like one in a million. It's like a million of those people.
There was a dude in Union Square for a while who was like a pro jihadi guy.
Okay,
which is a weird look, right?
Like, yeah.
Like New York, tolerant ass place. People remember the Twin Towers.
It's a weird thing.
But I'd rather chill with that dude.
Yeah.
And he probably got his head kicked in, but I'd rather chill with that dude than the dude that is being the wacky street performer guy.
Oh, yeah. He's like a guy who, like, he wants to talk to you about love.
Oh, no.
And how love is the answer and all this stuff. Yeah, he used to show up at comedy open mics and just do his fucking weird shtick, and it just always bummed me out. And now it's like a weird viral thing where everyone's like, this guy, he's yelling in New York City, but it's positive. And I'm like, do not encourage this.
No,
about someone who's just quiet and goes to work and then goes home? That's my favorite person.
Every city, every town over 30,000 people has the mentally unwell dude who is a character who hangs out on the art street or the main street or whatever. And early high school year kids with pink hair all love him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they're like, he taught me how to play the spoons. And you're like, you're like, can we stop with the encouragement of this fucking mentally ill dude? Can we find his family?
Yeah.
Let's find his motherfucking family.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There's a dude, because Patrick and I met originally. I lived in Albany for a couple years and we met there. There was a dude who walked around Albany playing, like, do you remember that guy, like, around Lark Street who would just play the sticks on his, like, cart?
Yeah.
He's like an older white dude.
So, they called him like sticks or drums,
something.
Right?
Yeah.
I listen, I don't know what the statute of limitations is, but I should say I killed him. I killed him. I was sick of that bullshit. I killed him.
It's like a thing where I was just like, it was a thing where I was like, stop. It's a weird thing where people are like pretending to be like, we love this guy. And it's like, yo, you're just making fun of a guy who's had a much harder life than you could ever imagine.
Well,
and it makes me feel ill.
Let me tell you, having toured the country every year of my adult life, every town has the same bullshit rumors about, I heard he's actually a millionaire. You know what I mean? His family's actually really, you know.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
You know, he might be a millionaire. I'm betting against it.
Oh, yeah. I'm betting against it.
And it's like, does it not seem like the fact that every every go-to homeless weirdo is a millionaire. Does that not seem fishy to everybody?
Yeah. It's this thing. It's like if I was a millionaire, the last thing I would do would be to push a shopping cart around in a mid-sized city in upstate New York. I would leave immediately, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say this. When I got together $200, I left upstate New York.
Yeah.
I would say that's weird.
There was a dude on Long Island who would stand on like the exit ramp of the Long Island Expressway, and people would be like, "Dude, I saw him get into a Lamborghini once after this." And I'm like,
yeah, to perform oral sex on a weirdo who—that's his kink. Yeah, yeah, that's his kink. Is fucking like exploiting homeless guys.
Yeah,
like
there's no way this guy would ask. You couldn't make enough money asking for like change on the side of the road to be like, "Oh yeah, I got this $250,000 car."
I mean, on an infinite timeline.
On an infinite timeline.
If you started begging today and lived to be 700, I bet you could.
Yeah. But yeah, in one lifetime, a guy on Long Island, people from Long Island are not known to be generally nice in general, especially to the homeless.
I believe that.
Yeah. So there's no way this guy was like, "Yeah, I made enough to buy a Lamborghini off of sitting in whatever fucking bullshit little town."
Also, where's he park it?
What
are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly. What, in the parking lot of the law office he's next door to? I'm sure that's just a lawyer's car. I'm sure that's just one of the lawyer's cars.
You know, talking about this has made me hate not just Albany, but also Long Island and every small city in North America.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I went home to Long Island and it was really sad this weekend. I walked around a Kmart for a while alone.
I was there last weekend and I'm going to be there next weekend.
Ooh.
Hicksville.
Hicksville? Yep. I used to hang out there with some people, the people I actually moved to live in Albany with. Oh,
it's a terrible life decision.
It was, yeah.
Long Island, best part of it is taking the Long Island Railroad to get there, because depending on when you go, it is people who are terrible, who are also drunk, that's actually typically going the other way towards the city, is when people are starting to get really hammered.
Yeah.
But I found that my trips there are at the hours where people are coming back. Okay, so real quick.
Yeah.
An aside. I one time was going, there's a casino in Los Angeles, and I was living in Los Angeles, and what's it called? Commerce Casino. It is in Inglewood, and it is the bleakest place that I've ever been. It's where a guy with a rope for a belt taught me how to play craps, if that gives you an idea.
Oh, beautiful. That sounds really great to me.
But there was a guy, when I was stepping in, there was a guy stepping out. Now, my father's a degenerate gambler.
Oh, okay.
I have experience with degenerate gamblers, but not the kind of like noir film foil degenerate gambler, meaning the guy with his arm in a sling.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? I just gotta pay off legs. You know what I mean? That sort of guy. I don't have a ton of experience with that degenerate gambler. So I ran into him walking out of the casino as I was walking in, and he looks me dead in my eye with his broken arm and the sling and all that.
God.
He holds up his necklace, which is a pathetic little thing. And you see me, I'm no rapper. It's not like I'm adorned in the finest of gold. But when you put up your pathetic little necklace and you go, "What do you give me for this?" On your way out of the casino,
Christ,
things are bleak. That I ride the Long Island Railroad with the drunk equivalent of that.
Yeah.
The person who has bottomed out and is now on their way home.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So the person who has to explain to their girlfriend maybe why they've been out all night, or that they're having their moment of clarity that they're an alcoholic. You know what I mean? Like, or I lost my money in the river. You know what I mean? Like whatever dumb bullshit. That's who I ride. Whatever hours I'm going is that guy.
Yeah. That's always the Friday rush hour back to Long Island is always fun, because it's all like the suit and tie guys grabbing giant beers at Penn Station and chugging them on the train.
What is up with the Molson contingent? It's all Molson,
I think there's like weird.
Is it just that?
It's
all you can get in Midtown.
Yeah, this is what they have. They're just like, "Oh, I guess we're right next to Madison Square Garden, and
This is what it's offered.
This is what is here, I guess. We just have the only place in the world that still has Molson beer is.
Yeah, I'm not an expert on this, but it just feels neither, like there would be more variety.
Yeah.
But it's always dudes that are like four Molsons in on their way back to Long Island. And here's the thing. I assume people have families, right?
Yeah. I feel like that's the only reason to still live there is if you have a family.
Right.
Because having a family in New York City is a full insane person thing to do.
Well, you're just waiting for somebody who is totally deranged to pick your child up out of a stroller and kick it into the river.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's what you're. And I mean, honestly, this is going to. I hope, you know, my hope is that this is not taken the wrong way. If I had a baby, I would hope for that.
That someone would kick it into the river?
Yeah, because I don't want a baby. You know what I mean? Like, if this could get me out of this fucking nightmare obligation.
Yeah. You're just holding it above the water at the river. Please. Waiting for someone to kick it.
Somebody, please.
Yeah.
When I was in Long Island last weekend, I was around four children.
Yeah.
And my girl's, I think it's like, she's on weird birth control where she like gets manic and is like, let's have a baby. And I'm like, yo, never. But it's such a non-issue in my life. I don't even think about having children, right? So I'll joke that I hate children, but I don't actually think about children.
Yeah.
Children are just kind of like an abstract, like I smile at them if they're on the train and they're smiling at me.
Yeah.
But not for very long because you don't want to look like a fucking weirdo that smiles at children.
Yeah.
So I'll just like, you know, keep it moving with the little, little baby. Yeah. But I don't think about them. But I had to be around four of them for an extended period of time. And I'm going to say something that I hope is not taken in the wrong way. If you choose, like, okay, now this is going to get dark.
Yeah.
There's a fear in the United States, I think in particular, that everybody's going to molest your kid, right?
Yeah.
Like that's,
or they're going to get taken, like a the weird like 80s kind of paranoia has lived on forever, that there's a guy in a van waiting to take your kid somewhere.
Correct. Right. And mathematically that doesn't bear out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like statistically your child's not going to be snatched, whatever. But I get it because having spent all those hours with children, I can now say that if you willfully choose to be around children, you must have some fucking weird motive.
Yeah.
Because they're so miserable. They're the worst things in the world.
Yeah.
I seriously, like, listen, when I have to go retreat to a toilet and I'm not shitting, I'm just touching my forehead in an effort to calm myself down and be like, yo, it's only a couple more hours of being around children. I hate them so goddamn much. Why did anybody choose to have four? Are you fucking kidding? That's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Why? Okay. Calm down. Calm down. All right. Think about anything besides children. And when I have to go do that, yo, what are parents doing?
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean?
Stuck there forever.
You gotta be around them all the time.
Yeah.
So I was so miserable that I was like, yo, if you choose this life and you're not their parents, like if you're just like the neighbor that's like, I love kids, have them play in my yard, you're a fucking weirdo.
Yeah, you're sick.
You're deranged. Yeah, your name's going on a registry for offering.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I would not trust my kid with anybody that I didn't have to beat up to take my kids.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If I have to strong arm you and say, listen, you're taking this fucking kid. I'm going out for an hour to get something to eat.
Yeah.
And you're taking this fucking kid. If you don't fight back,
then I'm
you're a fucking weirdo. No, you're not getting the job.
Yeah, I was home this week. I saw my family, and there was a lot of children around because it was my nephew's birthday thing. And at one point, I'm just sitting there as like a 29-year-old man alone, and I was like, the only way I can get away from these people is if I go jump on a trampoline alone.
No, but then they'll
and
come. But children,
they found me.
Children are like cats. With the guy who doesn't like cats, you know how the cat always comes to him.
Yeah.
That's what children are. So like, I'm like real clear. Like, yo, this is my vibe that keeps people away from me on the train. I expect you to pick up on it, child.
Yeah, but they don't get shit.
They like it.
Yeah.
And then there's this is going to sound weird because it makes it sound like I don't know how to handle very normal human situations, but I'll be honest, I don't know how to do this.
No, some of that shit, sometimes with like a baby, I'm just like, yo, it's like with a baby or an animal, I'm like, you just need to learn how to talk tell me just what the problem is, because it's so easy. Words are the easiest way to communicate.
You're sitting across from me. You see my little stick arms. I have no desire to get in a fight with anybody because 8 times out of 10, I'm losing, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not a violent person by nature, mostly because it wouldn't suit my, it wouldn't work well, right? Yeah. Now, with that in mind, it is reassuring that if pushed, you might have the, and even if it's unfounded, the confidence to punch or kick another grown-up, right?
Yeah.
Like, it is...
If need be.
If you're pushed, if your words stop working, you at least there is that alternative,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
With children, you can't kick a child.
No.
You know what I mean?
I mean, like... You could,
yes,
but
yes.
It's improper.
It's best frowned upon. Yeah. But their heads are so big, like because the children were shooting me with Nerf guns, and then there's the little one, like really little,
yeah.
And the little one would just come, shove the Nerf gun directly into my dick, and just shoot me. Obviously, it doesn't hurt because I'm already cringing from the impact from the hard plastic to my dick.
Yeah,
but. And I would just, all the other kids, I'd shoot right in their eyeballs. I'm a good shot with a Nerf gun.
Yeah.
I'd take their little eyeballs right out, yeah. and then they'd roll around on the ground. I'd be happy. But the little ones, first, I can't shoot it. It's like a floating head. It's just a giant, because babies are just all head.
Yeah.
Right? So like a 3-year-old is just a giant, it's like a video game mini boss. It's just a giant floating head.
Or like in GoldenEye on Nintendo 64 when you could make
DK
everyone's...
DK mode. Babies are just DK mode.
People.
So I'm like, yo, the other kids don't want to seem soft. So when I shoot them in the eye, they sort of sulk around and but they don't want to cry. If I shoot this little kid in the face, he's going to cry, and then I'm going to look like a monster, because what am I going to do? Chase a kid around being like, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No, I can't do that either. So like,
I did it on purpose.
Yeah.
I shot you on purpose.
Yeah, exactly. And then the next one's for your other eye if you don't back the fuck up. But the fact that you are powerless, you know what I mean? Like you are constrained in a way. And again, if some fucking monster dude, like there was a dude on the train that I couldn't, on the way here, who I couldn't figure out if he was mentally unwell or was just looking for a fight or whatever.
Yeah. Or most of the time, both.
Yeah. So I considered my options. I put my headphones back in and life was just fine. Right.
Yeah.
But it was reassuring that, okay, I am not like, I can kick this man. I can punch this man. There's a host of options in this world for dealing with somebody who is being aggressive to you.
Yeah.
But you just don't have that with children.
No.
If you're not a piece of shit. You know what I mean?
You just have to be like, get away from me, and then hopefully it works.
Yeah,
it never does.
Exactly. It's an empty threat. What can you do?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Italian grandmas are like, I'm going to put you in the fucking oven. Like,
yeah.
Like at least they're nasty and believable. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I'm just you got to give me space.
Yeah, I'm just like a sad man sitting alone. And it's the worst thing ever is when a kid feels bad for you. What do you do? And I'm like, oh, it's like trying to explain your weird, like, hodgepodge life to a child.
Well,
and they're like, why don't you have a house?
Well, I'm following my passion. Actually, I have a byline at Vice, and the kid's like, you and everybody else in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
You know? And like, I know they don't pay. And you're like, oh my God, you're 3.
Yeah,
you know?
Be like, yeah, like Vice Sports, right? And it's like shits on you.
Yeah.
My fucking little cousin this weekend was like, oh, I just figured it out. You pick up dog shit for a living. And I was like, but I'm an artist.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, no, you pick up dog shit. I don't care.
You know what, though? There is a sweet spot where people will buy into your I'm an artist thing.
Yeah.
That, like, is maybe people in their post-high school or maybe even post-college sort of, like, still aspiring to be something. I admire people who are going for it, all that. And then those people, obviously, they give up on their dreams and they fucking think you're a fucking loser by the time they're 28. But then, again, when you're at grandma age, then when you're looking at death, when death is just hanging over your shoulder, being like, it was all worth fucking nothing.
Yeah.
That's when the grandma age person is like, pursue your dreams. And the subtext is, because nothing fucking matters.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And the grave is going to devour you just like me. but that space between, those people just think you're a goddamn loser. You are dirt.
Yeah.
But if you can hang out, and maybe this is the avenue for you and I, if we can just hang out with 18-year-olds and 79-year-olds.
Forever.
Forever.
Yeah.
This can be our fucking crew.
That's it. That's what you got to do. That's the weird thing, though. It's like, as I'm trying to figure out kind of the thing where it's like, when you're, okay, I don't know why I audibly said something to a hand signal, but the thing where it's like, you have to try to figure out how to make art. So it's like there's some guys, it's like guys in their late 30s who are obviously making high school kid music.
Oh yeah.
And you're like, yo, what is the fucking like mind frame you have to stay in to make that stuff? And it's like, is it killing you inside to make high school kid music, like Warped Tour weird, you know, bullshit music like that?
I think about this a lot, right? Because I play three bands total, but two bands that tour, and one of them, as my girl describes it, is youthy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's kind of, she says, oh, I get it. That's the youthy band. And I'm like, I suppose it is a little youthy.
Yeah.
Right. And the other band is for fucking record store clerks. It's for fucking,
guys that quit punk to work at advertising agencies.
Yeah. Exactly. A lot of them come to our shows. Yeah.
But, great fans. We're so lucky to have you.
So, I think about it because the youthy band,
yeah,
ends up playing with the type of band that you just described.
Yeah.
And I can understand where that, like, because I used to think the same thing, like, damn, Blink-182, you need to, like, all, like, you're millionaires now, you could probably buy yourselves like extravagant guns with which to kill yourself. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Because the nicest, shiniest pistol.
You've been singing about this, like, you must be really on autopilot, because if you stopped and thought about what was going on,
yeah,
you would be in a deep, dark fucking place. You know what I mean? So I used to think that. But watching them now, closer contact, I get it. Like, okay, you feel energized by thinking about youthful shit. You know what I mean? Like, you're not an athlete. There's no sort of like, this is your, it's not even intramural, because those people are making money, a lot of them. You know what I mean? This is your sort of connection to a time where your dick still worked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like, so I do get it. I try not to be that person on any level, but I do get it. It's a bit like when bands reunite and you're kind of like, damn, like people always think it's about the money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And sometimes it is, when it's $1 million check, it's everybody's about the money. But more often than not, it's about going back to a time where you mattered on any fucking level.
People gave a shit about you. Not now, when you're the fucking guy driving the garbage truck, when you were in the hardcore band in 89, when people were like, this guy's great.
Let me paint a bleaker picture.
Oh, yeah.
You're not the garbage man, because the garbage man, you might be totally jazzed that you can get your daughter's teeth fixed. I'm going to paint a bleaker picture. You're the guy that was in the hardcore band that tried to be an adult, tried to be in rock bands.
Ooh.
But you're kind of, you're a shitty musician. It's not like you're fucking doing anything interesting.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm going to go back to when people gave a shit about me. And we all look down on this, and I'm looking down on it too. Don't get me wrong. But like, it's human, and it's not necessarily like, it is pathetic, but it's not, but it's not pathetic in the, like, because I used to be so critical of that. And for my money, it's cooler to not reunite. I mean, everybody agrees on that, right?
Just to leave the past in the past, kind of thing.
Also, I just don't know any, like, I think you're psychotic if you are a musician or an artist and it occurs to you to give people what they want. That's fucking crazy. So, like, when you're like, wow, there's a lot of people who want us to get back together, my brain goes, that's fucking sick that we're never getting back together.
You know what I mean?
Like, the way that I'm sure Morrissey's sitting around being like, LOL. Like, every time there's, like, a Smiths reunion thing, I'm sure he's sitting around going,
like, yeah,
you'd like that, wouldn't you? You know? Like, guess what? I don't have to do it because I'm rich.
I'm doing fine.
Like, is it not more fun to say no? I don't know. I think it's more fun to say no.
Yeah. I think I've never been in the position that anyone's ever wanted me to do something again, or usually in the first place, but I just stick around.
Yeah.
I think that I think the rush of saying no to people would be far surpassed.
It's fucking sick. Yeah. Let me tell you, you get a little time. I'm sure you get this when you perform comedy, where people say, "No, stay on the stage. Come on, 10 more minutes," and you're like, "You're like, I'm gonna go shower and go to bed. Bye."
Yeah. I gotta go.
It's fun.
Yeah, I guess the kind of. The weird thing about, like, going back a little bit about the guys that play in the high school band still. That shit. It's like, I guess it's kind of the same thing as John Hughes only making movies about kids in high school, but it feels a little different because being in a band, you're like, you're the person who wrote it and you're there.
Yeah.
And everyone can see you, and you're a guy who's obviously balding singing about girls you loved in high school, or even, you know, fake stories you made up that just fit the narrative of the band.
The problem is that those fans don't want you. Because imagine, right, if Jawbreaker got back together, which they did. They're
reuniting this year, I think.
Okay, so imagine if Jawbreaker got back together and midway through a hit, right, they just went down to a whimper, and the dude just had a really human moment where he was just like, "Man, I don't relate to any of you fucking people." you know what I mean? Like I did this for the money. I hope you like this fucking music coming out of our bullshit. We don't even own guitars anymore. We rented these shits.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just has a fucking human moment. Like, that would be, to me, that'd be the best thing that band ever did.
Yeah.
Right? But their fans don't want that.
No.
Their fans want to revisit a time that they might not even been at. But, like, for my money, because I love older artists. Like,
yeah.
This is a thing for me lately. The new Jay-Z record? Do you want to see a skinny little white dude cry? Because put on that new Jay-Z record, I get close.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I can't say I cry, but I get close. I get hella emotional.
Yeah.
Not because I relate to black entrepreneurship. You know what I mean? Not because of that, but because it's an old dude who is at the top of his fucking form. And to me, in a world where a lot of people lose their ability as they get older, or people just don't want to fucking hear you.
Yeah.
Watching a dude kill it at and don't get me wrong, Jay-Z's probably fucking 43.
Yeah, it's not like he's a fucking 100. He's a fucking dinosaur,
right,
now.
So watching him do that and do it at such a high level gets me, like, I'm fucking wearing this record out. You can't even do that
because
digital.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm degrading the MP3s on my phone.
Yeah.
So I love it so much. But I love an old dude performing. But there's got to be some self-reflective element of it. Otherwise, and that's why that's another reason why that Jay-Z record is so good, is because it is purely that. But there's got to be some. If you can get to the twilight of your career, and unfortunately in things like rap, that's your mid-40s. If you're lucky, if you're blessed, it can be that. But if you can get to the twilight of your career and sort of deconstruct who people believe you to be, that is what a fucking – you're an actual artist, right?
Yeah.
And I love that shit. But unfortunately, a lot of people got to pay – their daughters, they didn't take the garbage man job. Their daughters still need orthodontic work.
Yeah.
So they got to do the other thing, the little like, you know what I mean? Like, let me put on a show for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
do you
miss me?
Yeah.
Oh, you miss me.
Oh, God. You know? I saw the Pixies a couple years ago, and I think it was one of the most soul crushing things I've ever, like, I was like, forever. I was like, they're one of the greatest bands I've ever, and then I saw them like play live with a new bass player, and just they all had like fully dead eyes the entire time they played. And I was like, I think I've listened to them 3 times since then. I was just like, oh fuck, this ruined the whole thing. It's like, it was purely just like, I had this connection with the music, and then I'm like, oh, you guys don't give a fuck. You don't give a fuck.
But that can work. Negative Approach, who I heard were terrible now. I saw them and I was like, this is a pretty well-oiled machine of dishwashers and fucking manual labor dudes.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is a well-oiled machine of dudes who, if it's not this, it's a shit job. You know what I mean? And even if they're doing this for money, that's the vibe, and I'm loving it.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? So I can occasionally like that, where it's like, hey, man, I'm a career musician. That means that I play any dog shit show you put in front of me. Guess what?
Yeah.
You only want to hear this shit from 700 years ago? You know what? I don't even have a daughter that I know. She stopped talking to me a long time ago. I don't have to pay for her orthodontics. However, I'm 4 months behind on rent. Let's get it moving.
Yeah.
And if you can present that in a way that is transparent and I get it and I'm in, I kind of like that. There's a full buy-in to like, oh, so like it's either this or, you know what I mean? You're working at your brother-in-law's auto shop as the guy that sweeps.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm with you. I like this.
The thing with like negative approach, it's like they're making $3,000 maybe. On a great night. So it's like, hey, man, they're working.
Oh,
they're working hard for $800, hopefully.
No question.
So it's I'm way more into that than seeing the Pixies play to a fucking 1,000 cap venue and leave the stage like they're going to do an encore, have the house lights down, and then all of a sudden a roadie comes out and throws up an X, and the house lights come
and
everyone has to
done.
Leave. Yeah, they're like, they can't even fucking come out and play another song. They couldn't muster the strength.
A lot of bands want to claim a sort of blue collar sort of affectation or whatever.
Yeah.
But you could say something like negative approach is legitimately blue collar.
Yeah.
Not because those are blue collar workers, but because their actual career in music is the equivalent.
Yeah. Like, there's no difference between being the changing tires at the Pep Boys in Detroit. And then playing.
You're working hard for that money no matter what.
And then playing whatever 200 cap venue in Milwaukee with a bunch of bands that have, you know, face tattoos and shit like that.
And honestly, this sounds like you and I are like passingly low rating negative approach in some way. But like, yo, their career, which you and I just essentially low rated, is still better than 98% of anybody who would attempt it from their era.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So, when I was still in bands, I played a show with them probably like 7 years ago, and I was like, pretty good.
Yeah.
This is pretty good.
Yeah.
They had some new CD, and I was like, there's no fucking way I'm going to listen to that ever. But hey, you came out, you did your songs, and.
I mean, also, you still look like you hate everybody.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Yeah, you were. Yeah, it's like I never expected you to go on stage with a big smile and thanking everyone. It's not like kind of saccharine, weird, hardcore speeches of the next generation after them.
I say this about Morrissey all the time. If you met Morrissey and he was a dickhead, you'd just be like, that's so sick. He was such a dickhead.
I got the Morrissey experience.
And if you meet John Brandon and he's a grump, you know what I mean? You're like, you lived up to the hype.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
what
yeah.
I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, you
oh, the guy
best.
That wrote Ready to Fight isn't all smiles and hugs.
Yeah,
at 50.
I mean, that's fucking sick. So whatever. I was warned. Oh no, it's not good by a hater. And then other people had told me it was good. Haven't seen it with my own eyes. I'm in.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's a thing where it's like, if someone was like, "Do you want to go see Negative Approach tonight?" I'd be like, probably not, but I did it already.
Yeah.
So I got it, and it was great. And if they're at somewhere I already want to be.
Or if I'm opening the show?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Great. This is a great
experience. My bands have opened for them, and I've been like, all right. You know what I mean? Like, this is an excuse to do something that, you're right, I might not be able to get dragged out. Yo, speaking of which, so my girl is like, she's like, I don't know, I'm thinking about leaving you. And I was like, oh my God, that's very severe. She's like, well, I'm not really thinking about leaving you, but I want to address the fact that you have no friends. And I was like, well, we just went from one punch to the next. It's a lot of jabs you're throwing at me right now.
Yeah.
But her point is that typically when you have a partner, you end up hanging out with their friends. She's like, but I have no social life because I just moved here and you have no fucking friends. And I'm like, I have millions of friends. And she says, but you would never willfully leave the house to hang out with them. And I'm like, that is true.
Yeah.
that is definitely true. But I do like when I run into them. So I thought about it as I came. I had no idea the L train went this far.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I did not know that. But on the way, I was like, yo, she's right. You could not. if I hadn't already agreed to do this podcast, I'd be like, yeah, you can meet me in a pre-designated compromise place we negotiate.
Yeah.
Because this is too fucking far. How the fuck does anybody, like, you live here?
Yeah, I live pretty close to here. He lives here.
What are y'all doing? What are y'all doing? It's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
You can get a spot in Harlem for the same amount of money.
I got a real, my place, I live in Ridgewood, but it's like two stops from here, and I got a crazy deal. It's one of the reasons why I haven't moved. But I'm also like, everything I do is like lower Manhattan.
But okay, so
Bushwick, Williamsburg.
I lived in Bay Ridge
years
and years ago, and I loved Bay Ridge, but that's when I was a single dude. There was literally no, I don't think I saw a nude woman for 2 years, because getting like anybody, and I don't go out fucking bar hopping or clubbing, so I don't have that experience of like, come home with me.
Yeah.
But even somebody that you've kind of been like friendly with, maybe messing around with, getting them to come back to Bay Ridge is virtually impossible, no matter how good with a penis you are.
Yeah.
Because it is so fucking far. It's like, that's basically like asking somebody to marry you. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, you're
like,
oh, you're playing, this is a prank.
Yeah. What
this
are you
is
doing?
A sex prank you're playing is on me. Trying to get me to fucking go down
is
here.
Is this a bit? Like Bay Ridge. But that's how I feel about this place. You know what I mean? You guys got girls?
You know.
Boys? I don't know. Whatever the fuck you're into. I'm just...
No, I got it. You know, I'm out there.
Does she...
Playing the field.
But you go to their houses. Nobody comes out here.
No, I have people come to me.
No shit.
Yeah.
I'm better with the penis than I am. Because I
just think that this is like... This is where the people I have sex with live.
Oh.
They all live around here.
Okay. Well, that seems unfortunate. I'll be honest.
It's not great, but what are you going to do?
All right. Well, you know what? It's what you can do.
Yeah, exactly.
You know
what I mean?
No judgments.
I mean, this is the neighborhoods that women with angular haircuts live in.
Yeah.
So then that's...
I picked that up when I got off the train.
Yeah. And those are the women that usually want to go out on a date with me.
Okay.
So it's fairly easy to get a woman to my house if they already live in
if
the angular...
If they live 3 blocks away.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
If they live in the angular haircut neighborhood with me.
Okay. All right. God bless.
Yeah. Thank you so much. So we're here to talk about television.
Yes.
I think... Is this the record of the longest before we've talked about a television show?
I don't think you've actually even mentioned the name of
the show.
Let's do the official.
Okay. No, this is... Okay,
let's make it official. Yeah. Okay, so
this is fine. I mean, this is about how long we talk about the television shows usually anyway. Okay. So we're here to talk about Night Court after that. And that's it, really. I mean, I watched the pilot this morning before work. I had to watch it on some wacky...
Like Russian...
Yeah. It was like .ag, yeah. So whatever country. Yeah.
That might be Algeria for all
I know. So I watched it. It took like 8 different pop-up windows to get through to get to the first episode. But it was good. I do this thing. It came out January 4th, 1984.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to guess you didn't watch it right from the beginning.
No, I actually looked it up and was like... Man, I wonder, because, I mean, it was, I definitely remember it from my youth, but it might have also been in syndication by the time I saw it.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you read the Wikipedia on it?
No, I didn't.
Okay, so fascinating thing, right? It started, you watched the pilot, something that I probably have never seen, because I probably started watching it in syndication, but like...
Just whenever.
Like season, because it went 9 seasons, so probably... You know, like in the 6th season, I was watching the syndicated whatever. So what's interesting is that it started as a kind of dry realism setup for these sort of like slice of life, but isn't life in the city ridiculous jokes, right?
Yeah.
But the Wikipedia explains that... By later seasons, they abandoned the idea that it was reality at all, and there was like talking ventriloquist dummies, and like at one point this I don't remember at all. They moderate a trial between Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner. So like the show definitely, by the time I was watching the show, almost certainly it had jumped the shark in the wildest fucking way. But also those later seasons though had the cast that people remember, because what you watched today, and I learned this again, I don't think I probably ever saw the pilot, or if I did, I don't remember.
Yeah.
Half those people were replaced.
Like that's yeah.
The staff is just different, right? So like you don't even see Roz. Roz is a classic. You should watch like a Roz highlight reel. Roz was the sassy's not the right word. The tough bailiff. And she is a good counterpoint to Bull, who you did see.
The big oaf guy, but
who is ultimately kind of soft and sweet. Yeah. He's just a big-bodied guy. So Roz was the counterpoint. But the show has a lot of heart. I watched a couple clips today, and I was like, a lot of heart there. You know what I mean? I thought about how much watching reruns of Night Court and Cheers informed my sense of what is funny.
Oh, okay.
You know, and I don't know if it did, but I was still laughing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I mean, because the setup for Night Court, I don't know if you usually explain this or if you rely on a guest to explain.
Oh, either or. Yeah.
So it's Night Court.
Yeah. You know I mean? It's court at night.
Yeah. It's pretty, you know, which actually I was inspired when I first moved to the city. This was years and years ago.
Yeah.
I went to Night Court to check it out.
Because for a long time, I remember hearing people like argue about it, like Night Court isn't real, and then someone was like, no, it is.
Well, what is called Night Court in Manhattan, and this may have changed, this was a decade ago, may have changed, but it used to be that it didn't actually go into late night, right? Because anybody that's been arrested in New York will tell you, if you get arrested past a certain hour, you're just going to jail.
Yeah, you're just
going to
sit.
Out.
You're going to sit.
You know what
for
I mean?
The night.
Yeah.
Don't get arrested on a Friday.
Oh, yeah. That's a rule. I don't understand these people that like put themselves in that situation, because a weekend in jail is not for me.
No. You know?
But so I've never been to a court where it goes into the late night, but the one down in Chinatown used to go like 9 p.m., right?
Oh, yeah.
And it was like Night Court, where it was like the most petty offenses that you know that the person must have done this 700 times to get arrested this one time, because it was such like, I find it hard to believe even the most scumbag police officer would fucking bring you in on a selling bootleg Martin DVDs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, but it was really actually totally fascinating. You could sit there with a little popcorn and just
hang out.
And yeah, and it was really fucking fun. To be honest, I might go do that and just fucking hang out.
I mean, that actually sounds really fun.
I don't think they'd appreciate me with a laptop, but
they got free Wi-Fi there. I mean, I'm sure there's people hanging out there using it at Night Court.
I think you can find the videos of this. That courthouse, they find everything in the bushes. So
the
like,
Chinatown one?
Yeah. So if you just want to go and take your chances on like, oh, a Bowie knife. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, because it's like people that are like, oh, I still have this on my on my person before I'm going into
I'm either going for myself because this is me. I was bailed out. This is me going to an appearance for court, or I'm going to sit in on my friend who is also a gang member on his court appearance. And then you realize, oh, there's a metal detector.
Yeah.
I have no idea why I didn't think of that. I better throw this bazooka in the bushes.
Yeah.
So, and so there was a funny article a few years ago about how, you know, just they find, because sometimes people go in for an appearance, don't come out. you know what I mean? Yeah. They're going to jail. So like the, you know, like 8-inch fucking blade that the katana that they left in the bushes is just there till night, and then somebody finds it.
The last thing I would want though is to go rifling through the bushes to steal someone's knife and then have them come out of the courthouse and see me taking it.
Yeah, or
I think that's the last.
I'm
thing
sure there's also other sharps issues going on.
Oh
there.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So
Yeah, there's so, no safe deposit box right outside the court for your old needles.
So maybe strike that from the record. Everybody don't go do that.
Yeah.
But night court, when I went, you know, over a decade ago, it was really fun. But this night court of the television show is actually super fun. The judge, Harry, is a wisecracking young man. He's only 34.
Yeah, it was they in the pilot they tell you that it was because the mayor was leaving, so he was like appointing all these things, and there was this huge list, but they were calling people on a Sunday, so no one's home. But he's at the bottom of the list, and he was home, so now he's the new judge there.
Plausible.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I'm buying it.
The great setup of like an '80s sitcom where it's like. That like the fake sitcom they try to make up in Seinfeld where it's like, oh, I hit a guy with a car, but I couldn't pay it, so now I got to be his butler.
Yeah, that whole thing.
Yeah.
The golden era of sitcoms.
Yeah, not now.
No. So there is – he's into magic, which is one of the most obnoxious things that a person could be into.
A judge pulling a coin out from someone's ear in the middle of a trial.
Yeah, there's almost no combination of personality traits, willingness to judge others, magic. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, oh,
shit. The people who should not be judging anyone are magicians.
Yeah, precisely.
And then they're still like, I can take you to jail.
Then there's also, it's so they replaced what was Larroquette.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
John Larroquette.
So John...
He's like one of those faces where you're like, I've seen you a thousand times. And then I looked it up and I was like, oh, yeah, of course, this guy.
So John Larroquette plays like kind of a lecherous, sleazy, sex-obsessed prosecutor, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Public prosecutor. And he is... I now want to watch the entire run, all 9 years.
Yeah.
Because I'm curious how often something from 1984 to 1990
or something, yeah.
How often he does something that would not fly today.
Oh God, I was talking about that with somebody else where it's like every 80s comedy is just like mostly sexual assault.
It's fucking sexual assault and racism.
Yeah,
non-stop.
Oh,
What about that Jay Leno Pat Morita fucking comedy? I want to go watch that shit.
There's the Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder in Silver Streak when Gene Wilder does full blackface because Richard Pryor is telling him to.
Well, I think then it's okay.
Then it's okay.
I don't know. I'm not familiar with all the rules, but I think if Richard Pryor tells you to do blackface, you do it.
Then it's okay. But it's still a weird. And he's like, he has like a boombox on his shoulder, and he's like walking around because he's like trying to hide from people chasing him or something.
Very convincing disguise.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy is, again, internet versus reality. In reality, people can watch that and go, ooh. In the internet, it's got to be a 5-alarm fire.
Yeah.
But you don't need the 5-alarm fire because every single living human being, even the people that are the most ignorant, are all saying, ooh.
Yeah.
And just processing it as though it is, okay, that was 1984.
Yeah.
I understand. So, like, I find that fascinating that... you know, to be nerdy for a second, my girl is she's a college student, and she what do you call it, comparative literature, and so there's a lot of theoretical criticism so it's all these lenses by which to look at a work, right?
Yeah.
Like of literature or of art or music, whatever. And I find it so tiring and because I'm the dude that makes shit.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So like. I've probably recorded 200 songs. You know what was going through my head when I recorded them? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't fucking
know. I gotta finish this record.
Yeah, like, it's literally whatever, like, if I can't even guess my motivations until years after when I'm on stage and I'm like, oh,
that's what
that song is about to me. Holy shit. If it takes me years, what are the odds that you, who... are not in my head could ever figure it out, right?
Yeah.
And then of course, like, I always use the high school example where they want you to read the Metamorphosis and the, and it's full of symbolism, and then they ask you about, like, what do you think the apple means? And it's like, oh, motherfucker, I think it's, I you know what, it's an apple. You know, yeah. Like, it might mean nothing. You know what I mean? I don't think it means Adam and Eve. I don't think it means communism. I don't think it's just, so I really find frustration with lenses applied to work that I know for a fact the creators did not either intend or even consider, and are really not of any sort of value in terms of understanding.
Yeah.
Right? You could apply any lens you want and have a conversation that might be fun for you, but are you going to get anywhere near the actual purpose of the work, the actual experience of the work? Could you describe the work afterwards because you had this conversation? Almost certainly not.
Yeah.
So whatever. So I find that frustrating with looking at old work and trying to apply
the lens of now.
It's
to
just
that.
Pointless. Yeah, that's like wheel spinning in the most extreme form. Yo, motherfucker, we all understood people were racist, more racist than they are today in increments, and we get it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That you could give a newborn Silver Streak.
Yeah. And they'd be like, Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's innate. You understand the times change. You know what I mean? You look at the grain of the film and you go, I think it's old. Yeah. Oh, there's blackface. It is old. It is old. Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
This has proved it.
Yeah. So I find that so interesting that, like, and I guess it's younger people. I guess it's like, you know, probably 18-year-olds coming across an old work and being like, did you know Gene Wilder did blackface? Oh, the perfect example is I saw people having an actual sincere conversation about Tropic Thunder, about Robert Downey Jr.'s blackface in Tropic Thunder.
Yeah.
Which is the gag that it is inappropriate and wrong.
Yeah.
That's the gag. You know what I mean? Like, but people are like, are we really not going to talk about this?
It's like,
no, motherfucker, we're not going to talk about it.
That's the whole point of it.
Like, if you think we can have an actual conversation about satire as though it is realistic intent, no, we can't talk about that. That's absurd.
That's the whole thing where it's like, yeah, I think it's like the intent behind something is a big, huge part of it, where it's like, especially because now going from playing in bands where half the time no one gives a shit what you're saying in the song anyway.
Yeah.
I played in fucking, you know, like power violence bands.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, you can't fucking understand what I don't even know what I'm saying and I'm singing it.
Sure.
It doesn't matter. But now switching over to comedy where like every word is dissected and what does someone mean by this? And it's like, I was listening to a Patton Oswalt album from like, early 2000s, 2004 or something like that. And he is like, you know, the kind of archetype of the progressive white male comedian.
Yeah.
And on the album, I think he says dyke. I know he says retard.
Yeah.
And it's like a thing where it's just like, it's like a weird incremental change. And it's like going back, oh, he said this thing that people were okay with saying 15 years ago on an album and being like, isn't he a bad person now? And it's like, I'm sure if you asked him about that, he would be appalled.
Or he would just be realistic and be like, "Oh, were you alive? Because we were all talking like that. We now know it's uncool. What are you fucking new here?
Yeah,
you know
what it's the thing where it's like, yeah, that shit doesn't fly now. But what are you gonna do?
Well,
I can't. You can't. It's like the thing where it's like you can be like, it's shitty that I said that, and then you kind of just have to be like, yeah.
Yeah,
and then move on. That's the best case scenario that you can hope for.
Would you say it now? No.
No.
Well, I guess not. I guess, okay. Sounds good.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Thank you. Good night. But it's a thing. Yeah, it's like a weird.
I find that to be, like, aside from the fact that just, like, I can be the, like, my girl always teases me. She's like, yo, you are right on the cusp of being annoying, atheist, libertarian, fucking, like, Reddit guy. And I'm like, is that true? I'm like, I think I'm much sexier than that. And she's like, you are right on the cusp because you jump on everything as though people deserve your fucking conversation. So you'll have arguments with people that, you know, like you just look like a psychotic because you're yelling into the fucking void. And I'm like, okay, that's fair. But like, aside from that part of me that just wants to jump on people who I feel like are having conversations because they want to appear a way, whether that's more understanding, whether that's more progressive, like whatever it is that they want to project. Aside from my like sort of, you know, like my instinct to be like, I hate fraudulent shit. I'm going to shit on you.
Yeah.
Aside from that childish fucking compulsion that I have, I just don't think it's instructive. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I just don't think there's anything instructive or even really interesting about having a conversation that we all understand where it's like, oh, is racist shit bad?
Yeah.
Did racist shit happen more when this piece of art came out? It did, didn't it? Wow. Yeah. And we know it's bad, right? So we wouldn't do it again. So what is the purpose of, like, I find that, but regarding the Tropic Thunder thing, it honestly reminded me of like a science fiction, like a canical for Leibowitz, something where it's the far-flung future and society's been destroyed and somebody finds a grocery list and is like, what can we divine from this tome? And you're like, it's a fucking grocery list.
Yeah.
But that's what I feel like the world is doing with, like, Mad Magazine. You know what I mean? Like, like, what does this mean? Yeah. It means it was written in 1954, you fucking moron. Yeah, you know what I mean? That's what it means.
Yeah, it means, it was a comedy magazine from 8 generations of comedy ago. They were trying to make people upset or just, like, goof around.
Written essentially extemporaneously because it came out every fucking month.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're like, all right, what can we do this month?
Yeah, so we've got, let's see, fellas, we got 2.5 weeks before this has got to get to the printer. Be funny. Like,
yeah.
Oh, guess what? I was born in 1890. You know what I mean? Here's what's funny to me.
Yeah.
And it's like, yo, that I can tell you confidently that's what was going on.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry that I took this in a more serious direction. Oh. If you'd like to get back to Night Court,
No, it's fine. The whole Night Court thing, there's so little. It was like, it was 22 minutes long. It was pretty funny.
Yeah.
The magic was weird. Yeah. I didn't love that.
Just, they probably tried to jam everything into the pilot where
there was my favorite thing that maybe wouldn't fly today was there was a janitor in the judge's new office, mm-hmm. and he was just watching a couple fuck in a different building, and he made a joke about, they were like, something, and he was like, I was almost finished. He just, like, jokes about almost coming in his pants, and I was like, this is a great joke
for 1984. That's fucking great.
Yeah, that's great. And but it's like, there's like a weird thing where it's like, that wouldn't fly today, but those shows,
no,
were
you're
watched,
not you're
there was
not,
like 8 channels then, so it's like
you're not supposed to watch people that don't know you're there anymore.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Which is
great. That's the whole point of living in a city. I walked out of a building I was dog sitting at in Greenpoint a couple weeks ago. I walk outside, it's like 11:30 at night, and there was just a woman fully getting eaten out on the street.
Wow.
I just walk out, she's in the back seat of a car, and the guy's kneeling on the sidewalk.
Yeah, how do you not stop?
I gotta fold my arms and kind of give, okay. My first impulse as a person with the internet now is to take a picture of them.
Sure, but
to share.
Yeah,
but then all faces are obscured. I'm still like, this is beyond what I should.
Oh, see, I wasn't even going to say that. I was just going to say the sort of people that eat each other out on the sidewalk are what we might say they've got impulse control problems.
Yeah.
And you might get your head turned around. But you know what? Let me say a couple things that are going to be unpopular. I'm not with the, hey, don't take photos of people on the subway or take people. I'll take a photo of any motherfucker I want.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Do something.
Yeah. That's the thing is, like, I also just do, like, you know,
I'll
photography.
I'll take a photo of somebody with an ugly face and put it online and say, what an ugly face. I just, like, that sort of shit, like, upsets me where it's like, yo, you shouldn't be making fun of people. Motherfucker, I didn't, like, I don't know how that works. Like, when you're with your, I guess what I'm saying is there's all sorts of ways to conduct yourself online, but the corporate way of, like, talking as though you were in an office and you're afraid of an HR problem. Yo, that sucks, bro. How would you not want to talk like at least somewhat comfortably? Like you're among your group of friends plus some extendeds. You're not going to say the rawest thing that you've ever thought, but you're also not, and you're not going to attempt to offend, but you're also just not going to be like, well, I understand that the television show Fargo is quite good, and we should all be checking it out.
Yeah, I want to hear, you got a weird story about fucking?
Yeah, let's hear that.
I'd love to hear that right now.
And another unpopular thing, yo, if I walk by somebody's window and there's something wild happening,
I'm
looking.
Yeah.
I'm looking. I don't be like, oh, I should avert my eyes from this fucking cool ass fucking weird thing that's happening.
Yeah.
And maybe listen, maybe some people that listen to your show are fun people that don't overthink, should I look in this window where people are fucking like having a weird titty party?
Yeah.
Like, yo, but let me trust for those listeners, trust that there are people that are hearing me being like, you know, to watch people that don't know you're there is wrong. Yo, we all got different moralities.
Yeah.
Some people kill other people, right? Some people steal. Some people work for Halliburton. I just watch people through the fucking window. Fuck you.
You know? Yeah. On the scale of what's wrong in the world.
Yeah. I mean, you know what it is? I'm a big believer in how wrong is it?
Yeah.
Because if something was really wrong, you'd come break my head open. Right? Like if you thought that I was really the baddest dude, you would come do something.
Yeah.
So it's going to seem odd that after I just explained I have no aptitude for violence and don't want to get into it with anybody, really.
Yeah.
It's odd that I'm inviting it, but
I do the same thing.
If you think I'm a bad dude, come do something. You know what I mean? So like if you think that, like, that's the part that of the internet, and man, we sound like fucking old fucks right now.
But, it's so bad where I'm just like, no, I think watching people fuck is cool, and I think I should be able to say cum on Twitter as much as I want. Yeah,
well, I mean, I'll defend to the death your right to say cum on Twitter. But us being the dudes that are, I mean, not even really old, but like, of a generation where it's like, oh, I don't know, man. If it's a problem for you, come see me. You know what I mean?
Like, that's the thing where it's like, I got into a thing with a guy. I hate internet arguments.
Yeah.
And I got into a thing. A friend of mine, I borrowed something from her.
Mm-hmm.
Some like video game controllers or something. And then I'm just a fucking space and I kept forgetting to bring them back.
Yeah.
And then she did like a, you know, like a, because we live in a call-out culture, like a joking one,
yeah,
being like, Mike forgot to give me back my Nintendo 64 controllers. He's a friendly kind of back and forth.
Yeah.
And then some dude who was a friend of hers that I don't know started going in like going in on my appearance and all this.
That's
shit.
That's kind of funny though.
But it's funny. But I was like straight up like, I was like, dog, we do not know each other.
Yeah.
And I just wanted, like, it took all of me to not become the person I really am and be like, straight up, come see me.
Well, I
will find you.
I
and it's just a thing. It's like a dumb Facebook post, and I'm like ready to swing on some guy I don't know for no reason.
I did it the other day and got in all sorts of trouble where a dude really pissed me off, and I was like, hey, dude, I'm gonna break your head open when I see you, like straight up, like, and he did the weirdest thing that I ever, like, and I'll be honest, this really made me feel like, oh, like I'm obsolete. I didn't think of myself as old, but now I must be, because you make no sense. This is like some space alien shit. Like, but I guess it is probably the way that a lot of people are. When I said, hey man, I'm gonna fuck you up when I see you, his response was, so if somebody said that to me,
yeah,
I don't care how bad you are. If you're really bad, I'm probably not saying shit.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, of course.
If you're a murderer, I'm probably not saying shit. But if you are a dude that a fair fight with is not going to leave me fucking crippled,
yeah,
I'll say, okay. You know what I mean? That's the response.
All right, dude.
I'll see you when I see you. Okay.
Yeah. Just know that we have this problem that it could become a problem at any point.
Sounds like a deal.
Yeah.
But this dude was like, succeeded on calling me out, being like, this guy is threatening to beat me up. And I was like, I thought I was in like the Twilight Zone where I was like, is that what young people do? Do they go to the internet and are like, this guy's threatening to beat me up? I know I'm threatening to beat you up, motherfucker. I said it in a public forum where you could go call the police if you wanted, because I don't give a fuck. Like, but I found it so fascinating that, like, you know, after I calmed down, it was like, because I was like, my head was spinning. I was like, wait, whose response to, hey, I'm going to whoop your ass, is to get on the top of the slide at the playground and be like, hey, everybody, "Hey, everybody, that bad man threatened me." You know, that's a weird. So
that's
like
such. That's a. I think it's a weird thing. I think that you and I are kind of at the bottom end of the age bracket where it was still like, "Oh, we have a problem. I guess we have to fight."
Yeah,
there's like nothing. It's a weird thing where it's like.
I think Cameron ruined me because because to me, that's snitching. That's weird. That,
yeah, like go with the. Shut the fuck up. Like, this is a you and me problem.
Yeah.
This is it. This is our thing.
And you looking, unless these are your homies and they're going to come to my house, which is not the way I'd go, but God bless. Yeah. At least I understand it.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. But that's like, the thing where it's like, I deal, especially now coming from the kind of old, like, hardcore punk world of being like, oh, me and this guy have a problem. Yeah. We can either talk it out because we know we're going to see each other for years.
Yeah.
Or fight. And then after that, the problem will probably be done.
Yep.
And then now it's like I'm in a world with comedians who are just like a completely weird patch of like of guys who work at Verizon and have lived in New York City forever and kids who moved here from Ohio and kids who went to art school and were in show choir. And it's like, yo, all of you are talking to me or like talking to each other. Like, you guys have never been hit in the face.
Oh,
it's a thing where it's like, you don't know what it's like, and you don't know that people will hit you for talking out of line. And it's a crazy thing. I'm not saying that I'm going to hit everyone that disrespects me, because often.
And honestly, the caveat here, like, the disclaimer, I should say, is you nor I... listen to the way we talk.
Yeah.
There's nothing in us that is, like... I'm going to solve my problem through violence.
Yeah, you know but it's I at least know in the back of my head it's an option.
Yeah, but it is weird to me. And I've tried to look at this like anthropologically, generationally. I've tried to look at it after that happened and be like, wow, why am I a cave person, right? That's question one. Am I a cave person? Have times passed me by? Am I unfrozen caveman lawyer? Am I Encino man? You know what I mean? Is the internet just a strange place? Am I living in a strange place? Is this person odd?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like trying to examine it and be like, how did being a snitch become celebrated? Like, and I'm not Mr. No Snitching, right?
Yeah. I'm not stop sign snitching t-shirt guy.
Yeah, right. It's not, I'm not that guy. Like, but like to a degree, within interpersonal problems, I am that guy.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Where it's like, wait, man, like you're my size or bigger, and you are, like, you're running to the internet posse.
Yeah,
that's weird. But I've tried to like, cause like when I calm down, my thing is always like, okay, this is weird. I love weird shit. Let me try to understand. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But in the moment, of course, I'm like
steam coming out of your ears.
Yeah. I'm like, invite them too. I don't give a fuck. You know,
bring
really?
All your followers.
Yeah.
bring them with you.
But yeah. Afterwards, you're kind of like, wow. I'll examine my behavior, and I also I'm going to apply a different lens to looking at your behavior.
Oh, yeah.
But like, I mean, all I've come to is like, wow, some motherfuckers like didn't have like a. Somebody actually, when you said never got punched in the face, when this was happening online, one of my goon friends hits me on a text and is like, "What you gonna do about this?" I won't repeat a thing that I did, but I was like, I already did this. I've been trying to find this dude. I said, but my girl has told me I can't actively stalk a man. That's
over the line.
She says it's okay if I see him on the street, but if I'm like hanging outside his building, that's a bad look. But I said, you know, I don't know, because now I'm wondering if he's mentally ill, because this is like, and I don't mean to use mentally ill as like the insult for like when somebody's just behaving like a fucking weirdo.
Yeah.
But like, I was like, this dude might be off. Like, I don't understand. Like, I'm having a hard time understanding his behavior. And he's
like, "Yeah, it's like, how do you think social interactions work?"
Yeah, right. And I was like, I'm genuinely confused, to be honest, goon friend. And goon friend was like, "Man, I beat up a guy with cerebral palsy. I don't give a fuck." He's like, "Yo, this guy's got a bad case and never been hit." And he's like, and I was like, Everybody in my life is telling me I'm embarrassing myself and I got to calm down. And you're telling me that I got to go to his house right now?
Yeah.
And he's like, right now, dude. I was like, I don't honestly know.
Yeah.
He's like, if you give him the option of, hey, when I find you, I'm going to pull your arm out of its socket and really hurt you for the rest of your life, or we can just punch each other. He's like, they always take it. And I'm like, I'm like, I don't know, goon friend. That's like, I'm not actually trying to hurt somebody for the rest of their life. I'm just angry right now. And I think that this is the fastest way to find some resolution on this feeling. And he's like, nah, the feeling will eat you up. But it was interesting because that's a person who like, again, like I can get angry. And like when I threaten that dude, I had no idea what he looked like. It could have been Lord Ezak. You know what I mean? Like I was straight up just like, I was in the moment and I was like, all right, you know what I mean?
Let's
like,
do this. Yeah.
Right. But, honestly, again, I'm a small guy. Like if I'm offering to fight you, I think a lot of dudes would just take it and be like,
let's see what happens. Yeah. Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Goon Friend was just like, it was like, you know, you've got to, he's like, you got to be methodical, but you also have to be sort of scary in the moment. And I'm like, I don't want to be scary.
I'm not running
a criminal enterprise here. I'm just fucking like, I'm just angry. But for him, violence does occur to him. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, okay, you know, let's do this. But for me, it takes two more steps to get there. And I don't actually, once I calm down, it's like, I'm actually going to have to see this person on the street, recognize them, which is like another problem. Right?
Yeah.
I wonder,
like you have their face fresh in your brain at all times.
I think I thought about this the other day because I wonder how often I've been in the room with people that I've, because when you play music for as many years as I have, it's like, even if you're playing, I mean, you know, my bands don't fill big rooms, like, but it's still over the course of years, that's, I don't know, 20,000 people, you know what I mean?
So
it's hard, and they're all weird looking white guys, you know what I mean? Yeah. So like that's like a.
Do you think that's the main type of person that has the problem with you?
No. Like
that's just the
that's
crowd
who
here.
I run into. Yeah, right? Yeah, is okay. Weird looking, weird looking white guy, but weird within the spectrum that like becomes very forgettable.
You know what I mean? Yeah, the chinless bald man with a beard or
yes,
the guy, yeah.
I always say it's a bit like if you remember NES hockey.
Yeah.
There was three body types. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
And otherwise the characters had no features whatsoever.
Yeah.
That's how it is when you've been playing music long enough. You're like, skinny guy. He's talking to me. He says he's from Kansas City. I think I overfed his turtle when we stayed at his house.
Yeah, you know? Shit like that.
Right, because it's, and I feel bad for disrespecting people, but then I also sometimes feel bad when I'm like, man, I bet I was just in a room with a motherfucker who had a problem with me and I didn't say shit. Yeah. Now I look weak, but I just didn't recognize his fucking ugly face because they're all so ugly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so that's the thing that has crossed my mind. And like, for example, there was a dude. This is going to get morbid for a second. There's a dude who ended up killing himself, but he had a problem with me many years ago.
Yeah.
And, the way that he went back to his girl and told the story was I saw him, I tried to get his attention. He didn't do anything, but like on my fucking stack of Bibles, you're just a skinny, weird grind dude. I didn't know who the fuck you were. Yeah. You know what I mean?
After a while, it's all the same back patch.
Yeah.
It's like it all, you know, the your one dreadlock versus the guy with the three dreadlocks. It's like you all become the same person.
And it's tough because, like, again, I apologize to people who maybe they think I big time them with my fucking huge fucking life that I've got. But, like, I didn't big time you if I was in a room with you and didn't say hi. It's just probably that you don't have like a really distinct face tattoo that could like, that's got your fucking area code plus your fucking, your major interests. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
So
that's another problem. So point is, I'm not actually looking for a fight with anybody. You know what I mean? But for Goon Friend, it's like, it's a different lifestyle.
I forgot. You gotta find this. Guy.
He's like, oh, you got his address? Okay, here's what you do. And he's like, you rappel from the roof.
I gotta go get toilet paper today. Like, this is so low on my list of priorities.
Right. Like, but then they can get you psyched up.
Yeah.
Like, Goon Friend can be like, yo, but when you go through the skylight like Batman, but you've got two hammers, and you're like, wow, you're really selling me. It does sound exciting, but won't I get cut up by the glass? No, you're not feeling anything except rage. And I'm like, I don't know if I got that in my,
Yeah, you're like, yo, fuck, now I gotta go get hammers.
Yeah.
What do you need more than one hammer for?
Like, Google, when I'm Yelping, which, like, or should I Amazon the hammers?
Yeah. Or should I go to, like, pay cash so there's no paper trail on the hammers?
You know what? Here's the thing. I would be bad at crime because I am forgetful of the shit that it would probably get me actually arrested, but would perseverate on the shit that, like, doesn't matter. Because if I was gonna go buy a hammer to hit somebody in the head, I would actually be like, should I go to Hoboken to do it? And how do I get there? Because the PATH train requires me to buy a Ooh, maybe I could pay cash. Do I wear a mask? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, so that's the sort of shit where, meanwhile, there's people that just straight up pick up a, like a squeegee at a gas station, murder somebody with it, and get away with it. But meanwhile, I'd be like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, where should I buy this? Where should I buy where should I buy the brick to drop on this person? Where's the brick store?
I watched some Facebook videos today that someone was like someone like reposted, and it's a dude who straight up selfie videotapes himself stealing. Like, he's just like, he was in there, he was talking to a guy, and the guy's like, oh, well, it's going to be $4,000 for these four iPhone 7.
And he goes, yoink.
And he just goes, ah, and he takes the bag and just runs out, and he goes, I dropped two. And he's just still running. He did that. He ran out on a haircut. There's a video of him running into a Little Caesars just taking a
hot
pizza.
And ready.
He goes behind the counter and pulls a hot and ready out and runs out. And then there was another one. I couldn't remember what it was, but it was like another high ticket item that he just full on stole. And he's like, I stole it. And it's like, there was no follow up video. Like, this guy has been arrested.
Oh no. He's probably, listen, I, my phone broke. I had to get a new phone. There was some deal at a Walmart that, by the way, when you're going for a phone deal at a Walmart and you accidentally put in your former address instead of your current address, you are marked by Walmart for 90 days. Did you know that?
Really?
So I couldn't buy the fucking thing because they ran a check on me and were like, that's not your fucking address. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry, it's my last address. And they're like, you gotta wait 90 days. I'm like, I need a phone today.
But I'm not just buying a phone because I want a new phone.
Yeah. Like, oh, let me make the $700 purchase because I fucking felt like it at Walmart.
Yeah.
But point is, I was at the Walmart and I noticed the iPhone demo iPhones were all, the cords had been cut. That the security cords had been cut and they were all missing. And I said, what's going on? And they said, once every couple months, a guy walks in with a large knife and just cuts them in front of us and walks out.
Yeah.
And I said, what? And they said, yeah, he goes to the Target at the other end of the mall and does the same exact thing. And I said, the same day? And they're like, he walks in with a knife, cuts the thing in front of us. Nobody wants to do anything to a guy with a knife.
Yeah.
And then just walks out. And I said, man, and you never catch him? And they're like, nah.
Yeah.
He's like a weird, like, fucking, like, Beetlejuice-style fucking figure in their fucking... It's
Knife Phone Guy.
Yeah.
He's coming in. It's the 15th of August. He's going to come in and cut all the phones.
Yeah, but, like, how fucking insane. Like, so this is why I'd be bad at crime, because apparently all crime takes is the fucking... the love of high risk behavior to not give a fuck. But meanwhile, I'd be like, oh man, so I gotta like do like the client use the suction cups to fucking climb on the ceiling so that I can drop down. Oh man, I wonder if fucking Walmart's got motion detectors. Yeah. It's like, oh, I'm fucking crazy. All I need is a knife, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. It's like I had an old roommate at some point in my life, to not pinpoint one person, who's part of their racket was to just walk into a Lens Crafters at the mall and just take a bunch of Ray-Ban sunglasses and then just walk out and then sell them eventually. And that was the whole thing. He had no finesse to it.
Yeah.
There was no thing where he would create a diversion of it. And it's just like, oh yeah, you just walk in confidently enough, take the shit that you want and then leave and no one's going to say shit to you.
You know why? Another reason I'd be bad at this. So the most crime I do is if the line is too long at a Whole Foods, I will take my hot bar and go upstairs and eat it.
Yeah.
Because if anybody gets in my face, I'm just going to explain. Nobody would wait in that fucking line. What if I was diabetic?
Yeah.
So, but point is that's the most I'll do, because to me, there's nothing more shameful than getting caught shoplifting.
Oh, God, yeah.
Because that's like a DUI level embarrassment of like, you do know that's like a dumb thing to get. You know what I mean? Like now you've got to sit in a weird little room while we wait for the police. You could fight your way out of this, but then what happens? Maybe you get pinned to the ground. Oh, God, how embarrassing.
Yeah.
All you were stealing was like fucking like tea tree oil. You're going to spend the night in jail for fucking $18 tea tree oil that you didn't even really need. Get the cheaper shit. Like,
yeah.
There's whenever I run into somebody who is like an adult who shoplifts, I'm like, man, you're wild.
Yeah.
What happens if you get caught?
Yeah.
And they're like, nothing. You get out immediately. I'm like, no, but like, you have to look at another adult and say, yeah, I was stealing something for $7.
Yeah.
I do have $15 in my pocket, but I just wanted this $7 thing for free. Like, you know, it just seems like quite embarrassing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got caught shoplifting once as like a, or like probably like 22, 23 year old.
Too old.
Too old.
Too old.
And it was just because I was walking out of some supermarket. And I just had a container of hummus shoved down the front of my pants. And then some guy was just like, hey, man. And I just went, nope. And I just fucking ran. I was like, I can't get caught with hummus down the front of my pants. It's done. That's a wrap. You're over for the rest of your life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's like, there's a separate registry for that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. The guy who fucking, and I just ran, and I just ran far enough and just into the street, into the traffic, because no one's going to chase you into traffic.
So you almost died for hummus.
For hummus. Just to save myself from the embarrassment.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
How did it taste?
Oh, fucking, I think I dropped it. I don't even know if I got to eat it. It was just fucking gone.
But that's the thing, right? Is like, crime in your head, very sexy.
Yeah.
Crime in reality, very embarrassing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Unless you're doing something legitimately cool, like the knife guy.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
Or running a criminal empire of some type. That's
kind
of cool.
Petty crimes are never, it's like, oh, how cool is it when you're the guy who has to get pulled to the side because an undercover cop saw you jump the turnstile?
Oh my God, that's embarrassing.
That thing.
But also, I look like a drug addict, right?
Yeah.
So like, and when I get embarrassed, my armpits sweat in like a very specific way that makes them stink.
Yeah.
So I'm walking around smelling like a kind of like not very clean vagina. Like,
yeah.
Being like having the shame, like sort of like, oh, I'm really embarrassed by this situation because I am a grown man, can afford, you know, anything in this fucking store if I'm just buying it by itself. Like,
yeah.
But instead, I chose to fucking steal a head of lettuce, and now I've got to deal with this you're going to take my photo? I guess I should smile and be ironic, even though I'm terribly fucking embarrassed by this.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I don't know. I think that the reason that I have no future in crime is because you know how you have to start in the mailroom?
Yeah.
If I'm not the Don, I can't do it, because the petty crimes, if you get arrested for a double murder, well, you did some real crime.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if you did, like, yeah, you know, I stole a SIM card. You know
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah,
like, oh,
yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah, you're like, oh yeah, I just, you know, I really wanted this fucking PSP.
Yeah, yeah.
Some
yeah.
shit like that. We're just in all reality. It's like, yo, pick up 3 extra shifts at whatever place you're working.
Could be anything. Grocery store.
Yeah.
Oh, you're stocking shelves? Okay, well, just, you know, do yourself a favor, man. Just put a little money aside.
Yeah. Sorry. That's the thing, but it's like, the thing is that, also, anytime someone I know is like arrested for doing some dumb shit like that, I'm like, yeah, I love anyone getting away with a scam. I don't like that when people I know get arrested. That's a weird thing. I don't like when anyone gets arrested. I mean,
it depends if they got the resources to get out. Fuck it, it's
if it's like a weird, if you're like a rich kid who gets off on fucking bailing out of jail.
You and I don't want to see anybody go to jail for 5 years. But,
exactly.
But if somebody spends a night in jail because they did something dumb, it can be funny. Let's just be honest with ourselves.
Yeah. But yeah, but the thing where it's like,
disclaimer, we all know the fucking judicial system's fucked and the penal system's a scam. And it's all fucking slavery. Yes, we all we fucking get it. Okay, fine. But if a friend spending a night in jail can still be a riot.
Yeah, it can still be fun. But it's like, I just love anyone getting away with that shit. Like, but it's the perceived like punishment for it on my end is not worth it enough for me to ever do it. But if someone's like, oh, I go to this place and steal this X, Y, and Z, I'm like, hell yeah. That's the greatest story I've ever heard.
I'll tell you where I differ on that. You know what made me a cop? It is working at a movie theater. When I was 16, I worked at a movie theater, and the people that would steal the candy and do it in such a way that was not flagrant and in my face.
Yeah.
God bless you. That's cool. if you steal the candy directly in front of my face so that now you are essentially daring me to say some shit to you because otherwise I look like a fucking like mush in front of my fucking manager or whatever.
Yeah.
And if your answer is, hey, dude, why do you care about your job? Listen, motherfucker, because I'm 16 and I'm not very employable.
Yeah, you know what I mean? This is all I got. Yeah, like when I worked in the mall and I would just like see people stealing, I would just have to be like, it's like, all right. I work here. I steal from here.
Yeah, I don't. Do you think I give a goddamn? I just don't do it in front of my fucking face.
Yeah, I'd be like, yo, come on.
And to be honest, that's how I found. And you know, I understand everybody fucking hates police, but that's how I found most police to be in my life. Which is, and again, disclaimer: I understand I'm fucking Lily White.
Yeah,
but which actually, you have no idea how fucking like people. People like online I see will often tell stories of how rough it is for black people with police.
Yeah.
I should go online and tell you how many times I got an out of shit by being white. You know what I mean? That shit, obviously it's all real. We get that shit.
Yeah.
But I found in my experience, most cops do not want to spend a moment writing paperwork that they like. Listen, it's a weird phenomenon. Cops love their jobs. That's a fucking fact.
I don't get it. My cousin just became a New York City cop, and I'm like, yo, why would you ever sign up for that?
Well, on some level, I get it. It's different every day, right? Yeah. Like you're stimulated every day. If you've got a sort of power trip sort of thing going on inside you, like this is the most lowest barrier to entry.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah,
I mean
yeah.
to exert control over other people.
Yeah,
so. I mean, we get why a lot of cops become cops, but what I have found is that the part that they like is the sort of like interaction, action adventure, fucking movie shit that like as much as they can get it. What they don't like is doing paperwork on some bullshit that doesn't matter to them.
Some guy got caught fucking taking a 2-liter from a bodega. Yeah, exactly.
Like this is so like I learned this when my laptop got stolen and I was like. When I was like, yo, do I call the police? Cameron told me not to. And I was like, you know what? It's a city that I don't know a single fucking dangerous guy. I was like, fuck it. All right. I am going to call the police. And calling the police to get my stolen property back, it was a long story, but I knew where the stolen property was going to be because of a weird Apple thing.
Oh, like
but
the find your computer. Like the
no, kinda... this fucking moron made an appointment to go to the Genius Bar, and it showed up in my email. So yeah. I was like, "Yo, the dude's gonna be at the Genius Bar." When the police were like, "Sounds cool, dude," and I was like, "So you're gonna go to the Genius Bar?" They're like, "People getting stabbed out here, man." And yeah. I was like, "Wait, but all you gotta do is breeze." I mean, I can tell you the exact moment he's gonna be there.
Yeah,
and they're like, "Yeah, no promises." And I'm like, "Oh, so like." Literally, a cop will do anything to not do the fun. Like, as if it's not fun, cop doesn't want to do that shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A laptop dude, yo, the stabbing call is fun. They get to hide behind the fucking hood of their car with a gun and be like, uh-oh, you know what I mean? Like, so that shit. But like, yo, property crime against shit that already happened that they got, nah.
Yeah.
They don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
So like, if you... Fun fact, I'm going to share this with your listeners.
Please.
A district attorney, I guess I shouldn't say where.
Somewhere in the U.S.
Somewhere in the United States, but I went to high school with him, saw him at a wedding, and I said, so what's that shit like? And he's like, honestly, man, he's like, I lie for the police, police lie for me. He's like, he's like, we try to just get more bad people than good people in the meat grinder that is the fucking system. And I was like, holy shit. I was like,
yeah.
You're like an episode of The Wire. You're dark, man. I was like, you're fucking fucked up.
Yeah, like, this is like the worst timeline you could think of.
And he's like, I'm just doing it so I can go into private practice. And this is an exact fucking quote. He said, I didn't do years of law school to fuck fat chicks, man. He's like, I'm trying to make the fucking money. He's like, this is just a means to an end. And I was like, you're even darker.
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit. I was like, so you're just sending like young black males to the fucking meat grinder of the fucking justice system so that you can fuck hot chicks?
Yeah.
He's like, that's about right. And I was like, oh my God.
I couldn't even think of something that evil.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, holy shit. Yeah,
that's like a villain you couldn't even imagine because your brain doesn't even work that way.
Well, you can't imagine that anybody would cop to it. You know what I mean? Like, you know people are doing that. You know, like, that's the whole system operates on that. But here's what I'll share if we're getting cut for time.
Oh, no. We can go 5 hours, honestly. I mean, I wouldn't want to for our producers.
Yes.
But we could.
But he said, let me give you a hot tip. You want to commit crime? I was like, maybe.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was like, I'm open. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, tell
it's
me
not,
more.
Not an option in my life.
tell me more. And he says, here's the crime that I prosecute every 2 weeks and have never sent anybody to prison for. And I say, okay, yeah, give me that one. And he says, forged checks for out-of-state companies. And I said, well, I don't understand. He said, so to properly prosecute a forged check, a representative from the company has to come to court and say, yeah, that's not ours. This is fraudulent. So if you do that for a large company that benefits nothing from you, from them flying to a representative flying to another state,
yeah,
to sit in court for the scummiest fucking, you know,
yeah,
$2,000 fucking crime, they will not do it. He's like, he's like, you will get arrested. He's like, you will 100% get arrested and you will 100% spend a night in jail, but you will not see a day in prison.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, that's a. I honestly can't deal with the embarrassment of getting
caught.
Yeah, with forging checks for fucking, like, you know, it's Chrysler. You
yeah,
know what I,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, taking $3,500 from Chrysler.
Right. Like,
yeah, is my picture in the paper being known as a check forger, is that worth $3,500?
That's what he said. He's like, so you're, you know, it's embarrassing, but he's like, but you can. You know, you could probably clear $80,000 a year just doing it, getting arrested every 2 months. You know what I mean? Like, and I was like, oh man, that is kind of tempting. Honestly,
yeah.
He's like, they'll never fucking send you away. And I was like, oh man,
that's one of those crimes that's always like on a long list of other crimes
yes.
you've done. So it's like, oh, you've done kidnapping and check forger, and you're like, what the?
But those forged checks, the thing is that people are a lot of times forging like their grandpa's, like they're stealing their grandpa's checkbook
and Social Security and doing that.
But like, apparently, if you just want to do it against Pepsi. It's not appearing on your fucking rap sheet after
yeah.
like they have to throw it out, you know?
Yeah,
I mean?
That's true.
They're no contesting you. They're
yeah,
like, oh,
yeah.
Okay, all right. So that's a hot tip for your listeners. I don't know if your listeners are into crime, but
I'd bet money on it that some of my listeners are into crime.
Well, there you go.
I would hope that I'm pulling in the kind of people that are at least interested in crime.
Okay, well.
Yeah. At least like a small portion of it.
That's a free one from me and a truly low-life district attorney.
Yeah, and also we have zero culpability if anyone gets arrested for check forgery.
For sure.
I want to throw that
I don't even
there.
Know what district attorney means. I never had this conversation
no,
with
nothing,
them or with you.
Nothing ever happened.
Yeah.
I think I got told this the other day, and I think this kind of fits – with you as well, maybe, where I was told by a woman I'm seeing that one of the major things that's attractive about me is that I have a thick accent and I'm a meathead who is always seemingly trying to be very progressive and fight through the meathead that's on top
yep.
to get through. And I think that's like the whole every conversation we have where I'm like, I'm very interested in doing crime or people that would be. And I think that's like a thing where it's like, oh, because you're not full 100% meathead, but you're not.
I mean, look at the women that I know that are like almost uniformly like hella progressive. You know
yeah.
what I mean? We're talking about women that devote their fucking sometimes their careers to shit that like is real selfless, put it on the line. Like I've known a girl since we were kids, and like I mean kids, but like yeah. when I first moved to New York, she spent her life like at fucking Jamaican AIDS clinics where like I've been to Kingston. If you're gay, you are subject to real violence. You know
yeah,
what I mean? Like
yeah.
And these are the people that she's gone and helped. Like she's been on the front line of like 11 different things that I've been like, damn girl, you're going to get your clinic blown up. You're going to.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I got the friends that are like their interest is like transatlantic feminist studies and shit. Like, so like I am, those are for whatever reason, the people that I'm friends with.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And their response, their visceral disgust at like the the advertising as male feminist guy.
Yes.
They're like when the dude puts feminist in their bio, they're like sex offender. They're like I don't trust that dude. Where the fuck?
You gotta go.
I've had too many bad experiences to trust this. But I think that part of the appeal of maybe a dude like you and a dude like me is like, that's not anywhere in my bio. That's just in my best intentions. I think the woman in my life is the same situation where, like, you know, your girl you are more comfortable with than you are with other people. And I will say to her, okay, listen, I'm having a hard time finding the right word, so I'm going to use a word that we don't use anymore, okay? And she'll be like, oh, and you understand that it is not appropriate.
I've had so many women be like, you know, people don't think like this anymore. And I'm like, I know, I just doesn't, my brain doesn't work.
I'll say, but listen, I'm stretching to express this. And she'll be like, no, but the thing is that, like, I think, and I could be, I mean, you know, there's somebody listening to this fucking hating you and I right now, I think the thing is, like, seeing somebody who is genuinely trying to arrive at a place despite their programming feels more legitimate and therefore probably more sexy, to be honest, than somebody who is plastering themselves with a message that I don't see any effort here. Aside from the flag that you're waving, I kind of don't trust that this is actually a thing that you're, but meanwhile, the fact that you and I occasionally have to wrestle with it and be like, okay, well, I understand that this is a product of both the patriarchy and my toxic and my toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
However, I think I'm going to beat this man up. Do you think that I'm acting out of pocket right now and that I should calm down, or have I reached a place where it is acceptable to punch it? And I think that is more, there's more to be attracted to in that than there is in, you know, like, again, and I'm not trying to belittle the dude that I threatened to beat up, because it's not like, whatever, I'm really trying to understand, like, I'm not, but the point is, like, a dude like him, not even him, a dude like him, I think that there is something less overall attractive, to be honest, about the dude that, nothing ventured, nothing gained, no struggle, no fucking reward. It just feels like if you're not thinking about the thing, if you don't have to, like, wrestle with the thing, I'm not trusting that you actually have arrived there. I guess that's the way I'd put it.
Yeah, my uncle is a dude from Long Island, but he's a union organizer.
Mm-hmm.
So he kind of deals. He's multiple
murderer.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No. He's a. I mean, he could be, but he seems too goofy. But those are always the guys.
Yeah, exactly.
But he's a union. So he's like. But his whole thing is trying to. His whole focus is trying to get people who are unfairly paid, trying to get them their due. And he travels around. He was living in Oklahoma, like next to a Native American reservation for years, like trying to do this in this part of the country. Yep. So it's a thing where it's like, but he deals with, and he's in his 50s,
mm-hmm.
and he's just like a hard headed dude from Long Island, but he's out there trying to do the work. And he works in close proximity to people closer to our age who are like steeped in like identity politics and stuff. And I much more relate to him than them, where he's like, I'm sorry that I don't fully understand how, like, pronouns
and
that stuff. He's like, just tell me what I need to do.
He's like, I'll straight up call you anything you want.
I just need to be told.
Yeah,
and exactly. I don't know if it's rude to ask or not.
Right.
And stuff like that, where it's like a little old timey, but still, it's just like, I relate to 1,000% more than the people policing language on the internet.
You know what?
As a hobby.
Right. Well, that's the dark part, is the fact that it's a hobby.
It's not a thing where you're not working on towards something. You're just trying to correct strangers to feel better.
Right. And I think that is the key difference. And I agree with you. I relate to that type of dude too, because when we're describing that person, we can say with confidence they're not trying to ruin anybody's day.
No. You know, he just doesn't, he's outside, he doesn't live on the internet. He doesn't know, he likes hanging out with his wife.
Yeah.
He likes talking to his kids on the phone. He likes smoking cigarettes and drinking non-alcoholic beer.
Yeah.
And it's, and he likes doing the work that you guys are all kind of trying to work towards together.
Yeah.
But it's just, he doesn't know, he's the same guy who is like, working on cars with tools from the 80s.
Yeah.
Because he's like, these have worked for me since then. I don't know the pneumatic drill. Well, I know the fucking cranking it with my hand thing.
To bring it back a little bit, there's also like a thing that I don't think people really register until they're a little bit older is the words that you grew up with that were deeply hurtful, but like commonplace.
Yeah.
Right. So for us, let's say that F word that applies to homosexuals. Yeah. Right? So, that is a word that you and I would never really use for any reason. But I'm always like, I always want to tell people, but I don't know how far you need to push me before that's the word that I use to start a fight.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, I mean, there's a time in my life, not crazy, like over a decade ago,
right,
but still where that was a wildly common word in my vernacular.
Oh, I mean.
Absolutely.
For I would say I probably used it much less than most people, but that still means it came up.
Yeah. I would still use it to describe whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, actually, that's a weird thing because you're a couple years younger than me, and I think that your age bracket actually used it the most.
Yeah, right? I think so. I would agree to that.
So, but interestingly, or maybe not, the same way that you could get somebody of my father's generation to use that N-word that applies to African Americans.
Yeah,
you could get as though there's other N-words.
Yeah.
I just thought I'd keep the bit from the F word.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So we understand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is comedy now.
Yeah.
So
finally.
Yeah, we've arrived. We've arrived.
An hour and a half to get there.
So the same way that I couldn't hear my father saying that in 2017, but I bet that it lurks beneath the surface. If you get him mad enough in the right situation and he wants to start a fight, I don't know why a 70-something-year-old man would want to do that and get his ass fucking whooped, but I bet in the same way that I got no desire to use that word.
Yeah.
I bet that if you pushed me on a subway platform and we were getting into it, it might come out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is a weird story. I had a roommate about as kind and not progressive in the way that we say that now, but like kind of legitimately like on the bleeding edge of looking out for people. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah,
yeah. Devotes a weird amount of time to helping people. Somebody disrespected his girlfriend in front of him and started a bit of like a fight. He's a white guy and he dated a Jamaican girl for years. And I didn't know this, right? I've dated a couple girls of color, but not in a serious enough way that we were always out together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they were girls that I was seeing or whatever. But not constantly out on the town, but he was dating a Jamaican girl for a number of years. And I had no idea that people just step to you. You know what I mean? I had no idea. Cause we were living in New York at the time. You think it's like, come on, man. Like that shit's old timey. But people just, I mean, and he's a hot headed dude. So he would get into it fast, but people did just step to him. Right. Like said something rude.
Yeah.
Like maybe once, and his girl was no help. She would just be like, she'd be like, all right, it's on, motherfucker.
But
but totally wild to me that people still said fucked up things, right?
Yeah.
But somebody said something fucked up to him and was looking for something, looking for some sort of response, presume.
Yeah.
My friend, who is a short guy, but of the psychotic, I made a bad mistake
of
poking this weirdo.
Yeah, yeah,
and
like the human hornet's nest.
Yes, and now I just saw him become Hornswoggle from Leprechaun Origins. like this short guy is just, there's something dark. He's getting weird.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
yeah.
So, which is a funny thing because, for example, I tell the story Somebody attempted to mug me once in my building. I get upstairs. I just got punched in the head a few times, and I come upstairs and I say to my roommate, "Damn, somebody just tried to mug me in the hallway." This is about as kind a human being as I've ever met in my life. Grabs a hammer, runs downstairs. Didn't say a word to me. Just went looking for a fucking, perhaps deadly fucking incident.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So obviously this person picked the wrong person to say something fucking racist and rude to, right? So he spends now a block stepping on the guy's heels and calling him that word that we're not supposed to use anymore. Yeah. You know what I mean? My friend doesn't have an ounce of fucking bigotry towards homosexuals. He just knew that that is a word that when you want to punch somebody in the face and you want them to swing first, that is the word that you use.
Say it, yeah.
So I thought that put it in perspective for me that, like, you can't ever wash out. Like, we can, you and I both understand that's an uncool fucking word.
Yeah.
And it's not just like you and I are being Mr. like, "Oh, I don't want to get in trouble." You know what I mean? Like, we understand the fucking reasons not to say it. We're not idiots.
It's legitimately hurtful.
Yeah, we're not idiots.
Yeah.
So, but the shit that worked on the playground when we were children, you never know. We might have that do the right thing moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where the guy who we recognize isn't a real racist, blah, 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 still uses the word in the heat of the moment, and now it's fucking on. Now it's fucking ugly. But for us, I'm gonna speak for you
here. Yeah.
Whereas that playground mentality of using that F word might come up, N-word's before my time.
Yeah, yeah. that was never in the vernacular for
me. I don't think I've used it in my life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's fucking way before. So that one is not in my playground, let's pick a fight world.
Yeah.
But the F-word
is.
I'm curious. But it hasn't come up in my adult life.
No, I haven't been pushed that far.
But I'm curious because it seems like, you know what I mean? It seems like it could.
Yeah.
This is for anybody that wanted to hate me. And if you just wanted to take this out of context and not look at me as a human being that just presented a nuanced fucking conversation about this matter, just fucking cut the parts together where I'm like, if I'm pushed at all,
I will say it.
I will use the F word before I even...
I'll use it tonight.
Yeah, feel free. Feel free.
Call me on the phone, I'll say it.
feel free.
Yeah.
Feel free. I don't know precisely how that ties into night court.
I think it doesn't, but I think that's fine.
Okay, all right.
I think that's it. I mean, here's the thing about night court. It was fine.
Yeah,
it was fine.
How'd you like the theme music, though?
Theme music.
It's so good.
The whole way the intro looked.
It's a great. Yeah, it's great.
I loved it. Everything was. It was fine. Yeah, it was.
If you are a bass player, go listen to the Night Court theme, and you will definitely want to pick up your bass and just be like, oh, yeah, pretty cool.
I don't know how any of that ties into Night Court, but it was fine.
Yes.
Night Court was fine. I liked it. I thought this was a great talk. Do you have anything you want to plug? This is coming out in probably a couple weeks.
Self-Defense Family always putting out records. Drug Church has some new records coming out finally, we haven't put one out in a minute. Google, whatever. I do a podcast called Wrestling Cinema, where my co-host and I talk about, he's a wrestling fan, I'm not. We talk about WWE Studios movies, which are some of the worst fucking
truly
movies.
Truly horrendous.
Jesus Christ.
It's crazy how, like, wrestling is acting.
Mm-hmm. But these motherfuckers can't act.
It's crazy.
No, it's true. It's true. So check that out. What else we got? My girl and I are starting a podcast soon where we just run through the Kama Sutra. Because my speculation is it's just going to be like, oh, this hurts. You know what I mean? This one sucked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That sort of thing. Don't check me out on Twitter because then you get the worst impression of me. It's really just... It's funny. My girl said the other day, she's like, "I do think that is you." And I was like, you give me a lot to think about.
This is your id almost coming out.
Like, that is you. And I was like, I don't know. I happen
to thoroughly enjoy.
I try to keep it conversation. You know what's funny is when I used to say just the fucking most fucked up raw things that would pop into my head, We got hella followers. Now I talk about music, dropping followers like a motherfucker. Yeah. I'm just like, oh hey, what about that Bronski beat record from 1980? And people are like, fuck you, I'm out. Yeah. They're like, who gives a fuck about your taste?
There was a blizzard or something earlier this year where it's like I had a day off of work. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, you know, it'd be funny if I try to watch every single WWF Royal Rumble that's ever existed.
That's the only thing that I remember about wrestling is first I like George the Animal Steel's tongue, yeah. And then Royal Rumble, because the Royal Rumble is a preposterous idea.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's really stupid.
Everyone's like coming in through every minute and a half or a minute just to fight and see if you get thrown over. So I was like, I'm gonna see what happens if I just live tweet all of these, and I was hemorrhaging followers.
Yeah.
And then people were legitimately like texted, like they were like. Be like texting me, be like, yo, I saw what you're doing. Are you okay? Are you mentally well right now? And I'd be like, I couldn't tell you if I am.
You know what's crazy is I won't drop a follower for anything short of like weeks of being the most annoying person. Like, I keep people on almost as like a challenge. I'm like, I'm gonna continue to follow you, even though you're fucking annoying. You know what I mean? You make me angry. I'm gonna continue to follow you because I'm not gonna give you the satisfaction of dropping you.
Yeah.
Like, so
of making you even think I interact with your stuff at all. Like, I even see it, and it pops in my head.
But what's crazy is, like, there's other people, like, I think my girl's younger than me. She'll be like, I'll be like, wait. Okay, so a girl that I messed around with one time, my girl was like, show me her. And I was like, oh, okay. I was like, oh, yeah. And we're looking, and she's like, ooh, she doesn't follow you. And I was like, I was like, what do you mean she doesn't follow
me? Yeah, you should be here forever.
And I was like, why is she mad at me? And my girl says, no, she probably just her follower count. And I was like, follower, her ratio. And
I said.
Her what? And she said, ratio. And I said, I know the word. I'm asking what the fuck that means.
What does it mean in this context?
Yeah. And she's like, you're the people you follow to the people that follow you. And I'm like, what the fuck's that matter? And she's like, oh, it matters. And I'm like, to who? I'm like, that's the most fucking false fucking prize I've ever heard in my life. Literally nobody is going to come to you ever in the course of your life and be like, hey, saw your follower ratio. Pretty sick. You know
what I mean? this is great.
So fuck, you're not getting a blender out of this. You're not getting, there's no fucking yacht crew. Yeah. Like, so it's nobody. So now we sound really fucking old because there's probably like a 21-year-old that's like, these fucking olds have whack ratios.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah. But like, I'm sure mine is fucking.
But
horrendous.
Like, I straight up like, yo, do you know how boring social media is if you don't follow people?
Yeah.
It's like, the most boring fucking thing in the world.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I get to watch my friend tweet about the Giants game or it's like some shit like
that. I follow a Brazilian fucking fascist. He's not like, I'm not talking about like one of these like fake fucking dudes that like alt-right dudes with the haircuts or whatever. I'm talking about a fucking straight weirdo. Yeah. You know what I mean? That is into like the dark shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I follow his ass. He's talking about eugenics.
Yeah, and you're like, what's going on?
No, I'm just like, well, you know what? It beats hearing about the fucking Giants game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because at least I got an insight into another human being's fucking brain. Granted, it's real creepy over there.
Yeah.
But, like, I follow people who I got Zippo in common with. Not a fucking thing, right?
Yeah.
But, like, I thought that was the point. So yeah. I don't get it. I don't understand. Because, like, my girl told me I got to start liking people's shit, and I started that, and I was like, so what are the, like, I don't understand. She's like, if somebody is doing, this is on Instagram now.
Yeah.
If somebody is doing something that it looks like they enjoy, you have to like it. And I'm like, what the fuck? So, like, if I'm like, I know a girl that I messed around, I guess I dated her, but whatever.
Yeah.
She's into fishing now. Yo, I can't like a photo. I don't care how much you like fishing. You know,
nah, yeah.
That could be your passion. I'm not liking a photo of anybody going fishing. That's a fucking weirdo thing to do. But like, that sort of shit is like these unspoken rules, mysteries.
Yeah, there's some shit where it's like I like following people to see like people I don't know that well.
Yeah.
To see the real insights of your life, where it's like I met this girl at a party once, and she was like, "Oh, what's your Instagram? I'll follow you. Follow back." And I was like, "Oh, straight up, full on sex worker." broadcasting it on Instagram. And I was like, this is the most interesting Instagram profile by far that I follow.
For sure.
This is, she's like a dominatrix, does like all this. That's
some
like the
escort tame, work.
Yeah, exactly. All that shit. And I'm like, this is the by far the most interesting thing I follow.
Yo.
The most interesting person. I don't even know if she follows me anymore. I don't give a fuck. I love watching.
Of course.
I love watching the progression of her life.
I mean, that's the thing, right? The eugenics super fan from Brazil.
Yeah.
Definitely more interesting than the dude that's like, you know, the new code orange is a bit, the transitions are a bit abrupt for me.
Yeah.
No, fuck you. I'm going to go follow this fucking nutball over your boring ass fucking shit. Or if I have to hear another 40 fucking year old man think that he caught the president.
Oh, God.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
You boring fuck. You're the most boring.
It's like, oh, yeah, this is you. With 87 followers.
Crack the code.
You're the
guy that's going to take down the president. You got him. You're in the fucking Thriller movie now, my man. This is fucking a young Shia LaBeouf is running alongside you. Morgan Freeman is going to show up any second now because you're in the fucking Thriller. You know, fuck you.
There's a light post in my neighborhood that I walk by every day on the way to work, and someone just wrote fuck Trump on it. And I'm just like, that's what's going to get him.
Yeah.
And it's like, I get like the visceral like want, just like, you're like, I'm so angry. I don't know what to do. So I'm going to do this. But it's a thing where it's like, that's, yeah, this is it. Writing fuck Trump on the fucking light post in Queens.
This is
going to be the thing that rallies everyone up. And it's like, this is how we're going to get the president. Cause someone wrote fuck Trump.
Well, I mean, I apologize for us going long, but for any 40-year-olds that spend too much time on the internet complaining about Bernie Sanders and fucking talking about how they got Trump this week.
Yeah.
Listen, motherfucker, you are calling it doing less than zero isn't even the thing. I'm going to get heavy for a second and saying it's doing harm, because at this point, people firing off nonstop about like this criminal activity, this thing but they don't know if it's like for example, with the Russia thing.
Yeah.
Right. Guess what? I've never run a fucking a presidential campaign.
No.
I don't know if it's normal to get fucking phone calls from people being like, I got the dirt on this motherfucker. I don't know what's normal. So for you to be online telling me that they're cooked, they're definitely going to jail. Let me tell you what that does over the course of the literal 85 times that you have said that
since
he became president.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what it does. It builds up this wall for me, no pun intended, that makes it so I don't believe this motherfucker is capable of going to jail now.
Yeah,
this is Count Dracula.
Yeah.
That's what you've done. You have made this dude that almost certainly is going to hang by his own rope. You know what I mean? Almost certainly. You have made it now so that I believe he is invincible. You know?
Yeah. You've given him these powers that he definitely doesn't even have.
Well, every week if you're like, we've got him now.
Yeah.
And then we don't get him.
Yeah, it's just like you look like you look like the detective trying to catch the Pink Panther.
Exactly.
That's what these people look like. It's like you're falling over yourself trying to get this thing that it's like, it should be so easy to get.
But the thing is this is partly my fault for just believing that, like, or for like the constant din of guy from fucking Maryland, 40-year-old from Maryland that works in design being like, there's no way he wiggles his way out of this. It's my fault for considering that a voice that even penetrates my head. But like, I just don't. I think it is at this point very unhelpful. I think that what it's doing. Okay, sorry to get political on a comedy show.
You don't even know where it's like. That's everything.
Okay.
Since November, every show and open mic is some comedian trying to take like very specific political news and put a spin on it. And it's like, yo, straight up, no one knows what the fuck you're talking about. Like, yo, you got this hot new Jared Kushner joke. It's like, that's playing to 8% of the people that follow you on Twitter. And that's it. Like,
right.
The people in this room are like, yo, tell me about how fucking is weird.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I relate to. I don't read page 83 of the New York Times
every
day.
Yeah, tell us your new bear mattress joke, because that is going to be much funnier.
You know what I mean?
But the thing is that, like, there's a generation who grew up under Obama. Obama, obviously, the fucking lunatics hated his ass. But like, scandal-free guy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The most scandalous thing that we could say about him is, like, these, like, imaginary missteps that the fucking media just needed to latch onto because they didn't have shit. But there wasn't really a scandal-free human being. And
yeah.
you're talking to a guy who thinks they're all crooks, including Obama.
Exactly. It's a thing where it's, like, any person who wants to be a politician, I think,
yeah, you're psychotic.
Is unhinged.
But, you're right. Yeah. But there's a generation that grew up, that came to adulthood during Obama, and really, that's their normal, right? So Trump is a fucking lunatic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we got to look at the danger of what is coming now, which is there's going to be, like, my barber. My barber's a 19-year-old kid who was like, you know, this Trump guy's pretty bad. And I was like, yeah, that's true, Jeff. And he's like, and he's like, I never thought about politics before Trump. And I was like, yeah, you didn't have any reason to, man. You grew up in a pretty scandal-free time, honestly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, and he's like, yeah. He's like, I just, and I mean, this is funny, but he's just like, man, racism sucks so bad. And I was, yeah. I was like, yes, Jeff, that's definitely true. But the point is, Jeff is not the most. He's coming to insight slowly, but the point is, the kid that is younger than him is going to normalize Trump in the way that this dude normalized Obama. So the way that he never thought about politics because it was a calm time, there's going to be kids that come into adulthood that think that life is just a chaotic nightmare at all times, right? So, like, my feeling is that the people that, like, it's a uniform type of dude. It's a 40-year-old dude angry at Bernie Sanders who has, like, a, you know, mid-level to decent to good job, who finds the time somewhere in their fucking day to be like, we've got him by the short and curlies now.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got fucking Trump. He's gonna fucking swing for this. Yo, if you say something enough and it doesn't happen, people stop believing your ass.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, there's not some solidarity to this where I'm like, you know, I wasn't really sure about Trump, but the fucking legion of 40-year-old men online who, like, hate Bernie Sanders and hate Trump at the same time, like, the legion, they convinced me he's a bad dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Yo,
yeah.
Motherfucker, we all know he's a bad dude. Open your mouth when something happens. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, don't fucking. This is a Canadian girlfriend situation. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, it's just like you just keep talking on it, and I'm not seeing it.
Yeah. As a man who has had a real Canadian girlfriend, it's not great when it's real either. I mean, it's fine. But it's a thing where it's like the arguments are not a learning experience anymore. It's I'm going to shout my side. You're going to shout your side. We're going to say fuck you a bunch back and forth. And then one of us is going to have to go do the dishes.
Well,
and that's it. It's very rare where I see two people with differing opinions ever. They don't even have to meet in the middle. They just have to understand, this is where you're coming from.
Yeah.
This is where I'm coming from.
It's a wrap.
And we're never going to change.
It's a wrap. Now is where I get myself in real trouble. It used to be that your neighbor could be a Nazi, and that was understood, and you just didn't fuck with that dude.
Yeah.
That was not your friend. You didn't wave to him. Like, listen, when I was living in Bay Ridge, there was a guy bagging groceries down there who just had straight up white power tattoos.
Yeah.
You know my response to that? Don't hang out with that dude.
Yeah.
You know
there's
I mean?
A reason he's bagging groceries.
Like,
that's the lane he's put himself in.
Well, yeah, I mean, almost certainly. But,
yeah.
no shade on the baggers of the
oh,
world.
Oh, no.
But.
A profession I have had and probably will have again
yeah, I mean,
eventually
and
after
literally
this
any moment
artist
now.
Bullshit
yeah, literally any moment.
Peters out.
But the point is that, like, it used to be that your neighbor could be, one neighbor was a communist, one neighbor was a Nazi, one neighbor, like, and perhaps not literal, sometimes literal. Sometimes literal. But, like, it used to be that the idea, and again, I hate that we got to put a disclaimer on everything, like, we're all fucking children.
Yeah.
Nobody in this fucking room is buying into the United States. You know what I mean? Like, so let's just fucking, just in case you think I'm here celebrating Columbus Day
and
waving a flag. Like, yo, nobody's buying into the United States. But there have been times where we believed that the principles of freedom of expression were absolute, and that there is a mutually assured destruction element to that, right?
Yeah.
So if we all believe whatever we want, there is a pardon the libertarian rhetoric, there is a marketplace of ideas, and presumably the less psychotic ideas rise to the fucking top, right?
Yeah.
Presumably. Now, that's what I grew up under, and that's still what very much makes sense to me, yeah. Right? But, you know, perhaps that failed because psychosis is just the fucking norm now, and we yell at each other all day.
Yeah.
But, you know, perhaps there's something to be said for the fact that that's social media, because, again, when it used to be that your neighbor, like, let's say that you your family fled the Soviet Union or Cuba, you hate communism, your grandfather died in chains because of communism, whatever it was, and your neighbor was a Soviet sympathizer or a super fan, flew that flag.
Yeah.
And this is bringing it back to punching people in the face, which is so weird. You and I are not tough guys. This is such a weird
thing. Yeah. Not even a little.
But when you used to have to be accountable to another human being in person, if you wanted to challenge their views, there's a civility in that because the next option up is physical violence.
Yeah.
So, but the problem is that online we can scream until our fingers fall off.
Yeah.
And never have to have any repercussions.
Nothing.
So, like, to me, that might be the evil here, is not that, ooh, we allowed people with ugly views to exist and now look at it. It's like, no, listen, people with ugly views have existed forever.
Yeah.
And we've been making incremental progress. No matter what you want to believe, you can be angry and be like, well, it's not enough. Okay, yeah, fucking for sure. but have been making progress towards an end that most sane people agree is where we want to go. But when we took the stakes out, we also took the civility out, right? Yeah. So like now your marketplace of ideas is the person with the most extreme, and extreme means entertaining, the most extreme views screaming from the rooftop at their neighbor who is screaming from their rooftop, and neither the twain shall meet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think that's a major problem. Sorry. We're now in the realm where we went from politics to talking about the evils of social media.
We are
official. We might be 55.
I think. Yeah. But it's a thing where it's like, it's insane how we sound. If anyone under the age of 25 listens to this podcast, they think we're fucking, we're over here talking about fucking playing with a stick and a wheel running down the
correct.
Street. Yeah.
Correct. But for those of you that are young, that never experienced a time where you had to be accountable at any level, strong fences make good neighbors. And right now we don't have any fences. I just would like you to reflect on that.
Yeah.
So like we can invade each other's space at all times, and we do. So the point is that like, if you're out in the wilderness, like, listen, when I would tweet things like, man, Batman versus Superman really fucking sucked, there'd be a weirdo that would just show up and be like, you suck. And I'd be like, yeah. You don't even follow me. You just have a search term up.
You just have Batman. You just have a ping that comes up when Batman versus Superman comes up.
Yeah. So like now with that in mind, you would never, not in your life, say that to me on the street.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not because I'm big and scary, but because it makes you a fucking weirdo.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it makes you a fucking weirdo.
Yeah.
But you feel totally without, there's no stakes. So like, strong fences make good neighbors. We used to have those in a way that I don't think people under a certain age can really comprehend.
Yeah.
Does that seem accurate?
I get it. Like the idea of like the trend online of like doxing people and all that shit. Or like there was a woman, this video made around on my Facebook, mm-hmm. where because it was a woman super drunk outside of a comedy club,
mm-hmm.
yelling at, she got kicked out because she was too drunk and she was disrupting the show, which I love when people get kicked out for disrupting the show.
Sure.
But then she kept going off and was yelling at cops that were there, spitting at employees of the comedy club. And it was like, this woman is obviously mentally unwell or just too fucked up to realize what's going on. But then it became a thing where it was like people found out who she was, found out that she was an anchor on local news somewhere.
Wow.
And then her job is gone. Well, it's a thing where it's like,
I'm going to say that for me, that's straight up snitching.
Yeah, that's like shit where it's like, that's just either side. I'm on the side of it's like a weird thing because it's like, as a comedian, I don't want this person near a comedy club ever again. Who am I to say you're not allowed to live your life because of this one
I'm gonna rob you of your livelihood.
Yeah. Where it's a thing where it's like, even if you had to call the place that she worked at instead of just like tweeting about it, where it's like that one step you have to talk to another human about it. Never in your life would you do that.
No, it wouldn't occur to me. But okay. So doxing, though, I gotta say is a totally bizarre phenomenon because, again, we're not old. We can remember Yellow Pages.
Yeah.
Yo, people's fucking phone numbers are not a mystery. It's weird. Like, I find the doxing phenomenon so odd because, like, when somebody explained it to me, it's like, yeah, they put your personal information out there. I was like, oh, shit, like, your credit card info? And they're like, no, like, your address and your phone number. I was like, so the fucking Yellow Pages?
Yeah.
I was like, yo, do that to me. See how it works for you. You know what I mean?
Like, that's the same thing as if you get arrested. They're like, this guy got caught shoplifting, and then they put your full address in the newspaper.
Yeah, like, I just don't understand what the threat is. But like, to a certain generation, their anonymity is so important.
It's all they have.
That's scary. But it's like, are we serious? Like, all you, like, until literally 10 years ago, all you had to do was look in a goddamn phone book and have everybody's fucking info. Like, it's so odd to me that that's a threat. Like, yeah. Again, I'm not a tough guy, but like, put my info out there. What you gonna do?
You know what I mean? Like, but the coming for people's jobs thing is the thing that shit like rubs me. Even if it's a person where it's like, I mean, in like extreme cases where if it's like, I don't know. It's like where is the line? Where it's like if a state employee is tweeting racist shit at people, mm-hmm. It's like. Yeah, I don't know. But who am I?
I'll say the most unpopular thing in the world is that person is fully entitled to have any conversation that they want without repercussions, as long as it's outside their work. People can hate on that shit all you want. I don't give a fuck. Call my job. What do you fuck? Fuck you.
Yeah.
But this is a thing that I actually really care about a lot because. Okay, so it's a common thing online to say, listen, we can't be censoring each other, and then some fucking weirdo jumps in and says, actually, censorship is government enacted, and you're using the wrong word, which is, no, that's one definition of censorship, but there's plenty. But anyway, the point is that you obviously haven't read enough dystopian science fiction. The censorship that is going to impact you in your lifetime, in our lifetime, is not government censorship. It is corporate censorship. That is where you – and I need people to understand – this is actually – I'm going to go off on one. You ready? So it is within you and I's lifetime that Disney had a no out-of-the-closet gays policy.
Yeah.
Right? That is within our lifetime, actually within our memory. That wasn't like from 1985. That was actually – there are television shows that were airing on ABC. So it was after the acquisition of ABC that the stars could not be living their lives because of this policy.
Yeah.
Which was, I forget, like, it was an actual morality clause is what it was called. So that's about as ugly to me a piece of U.S. history as you're likely to find. And it wasn't government. It was corporate censorship.
Yeah.
And you need to understand this, that the means by which you hang somebody today are you open the door for them to hang you tomorrow. And when you say that, it's good that a large corporation doesn't want to be affiliated with racists, so this person got fired. Listen, all it takes is the wind blowing the other way, and for you to lose your job because whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Everybody needs to understand that like progressivism as we understand it, we see on a continuum moving forward at all times. But that's not how actual human history has been. Like. I mean, the simplest example is the Dark Ages, right? Like, we can all refer... That's like a scary term, so we can all use it.
Yeah.
People were headed towards a direction, and then it fucking everybody decided at the same time. I mean, that's not actually what happened, but everybody decided at the same time, fuck it, let's live as though it was 140 years ago.
Yeah.
Now, this World War I is another prime example, actually. So there's... all these fucking, like, we see these things as being like, oh, of course we're on a trajectory towards X.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's a delusion. It can go in any direction at any time. And the doors that you open, they stay open. So corporate censorship, you might like it when a racist gets fired because that's a comeuppance for an ugly fucking thing to say in public. But yo, when it is you, you are not going to like it.
Yeah.
And all it takes is for the wind to blow the other way. So that's why I don't care how fucking disgusting your views are. We can't be handling it like that. Listen, it's not like offending my sensibilities. It's just a practical matter that this shit is going to bite you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it all comes kind of weirdly full circle where it's a thing where it's like, you, like, it's an odd thing to be like, I want this person who said this racist thing to be fired. Mm-hmm. And then there was the uproar, the Kathy Griffin thing, where she held the fucking
totally
whack ass.
Let's talk about this for a second.
Yeah.
So you and I probably process that the exact same way.
Yeah.
Which is, yo, am I from outer space? I don't understand why this matters to anybody.
No.
Like, as a person who for now 2/3 of their life has attended shows where men with one dreadlock have screamed, kill police.
Yeah.
I was totally fucking shocked that anybody cared at all.
How many records between us do we own where there's literally lines like, I want to kill the president?
Yo.
Like, things like that.
I mean, I don't know if this makes me sound old, if it makes me sound like a sympathizer of some type or whatever. I belong to the school that there is no line. I don't recognize a line.
Yeah.
If you know, like when you use terms like I'm a free speech absolutist, like you sound like a weirdo. But
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Yo, straight up, like I don't understand, because the question becomes, I mean, obviously you and I are spinning our wheels right now because people that actually think about things have already arrived at this. But like for the people that are just like stuck in a moment in the zeitgeist and like screaming, just hear me out. Like, it is just axiomatic that the ugliest thing defends your right to something that is not even 1/10 of it. You need the thing to prove your rights. It's everything is a test of your rights, and you. It's like very strange to me that people don't see the writing on the wall when you look at other societies. These things can go backwards. You don't want your rights to disappear.
Yeah.
You want the guy to shut up. You don't want his rights to disappear. You have to delineate between those two things. Racist saying fucked up things, you want him to shut up. Trust me, you do not want to erase his right to say it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a weird thing where it's kind of, I hate to be the guy that's like bashing PC culture because I think it's good.
Yeah, but that's the thing.
But it's like everything seems to be kind of almost scooting back to this weird 1950s.
Fuck that, 1980s. Everything
has to be inoffensive in this weird middle ground that kind of doesn't offend the left too much, doesn't offend the right too much.
Well, it's like sorry to interrupt you. We should talk about that for a second. It is worth noting for those of you that want people to shut up and want ugly views to go away.
Yeah.
That position, you might think that it is coming from your best intentions. And in this case, like you're like, let's use the word progressive just because whatever, it's convenient.
Yeah.
It's convenient. It might be born of your progressive ideals, but the notion of silencing other people pops up about every 15 to 20 years with real strength. And the people involved always believe they're in the right.
Yeah.
And they always believe that they are defending something that matters, that is important. And they time and time again are proven that that is wrong, that they have taken that even if they had good intentions, they took a track that denies people essentially their agency by silencing them. And your position, I think, is the hardest. As a comedian, how unfun is comedy right now? Like
it's the trying to find the line of I'm probably one of the most, I mean, I have like a few whatever bordering on political jokes, but I as a person am fairly apolitical in general, where it's not, it doesn't stimulate my mind to have this conversation. I'm also not educated enough to, my thing is, oh, this is pretty bad. And then everyone's like, yeah, we know that. Yeah. So it's like, what's, I'm just up
what
here.
What can
fucking,
you add to this?
Yeah. Exactly. But it's a thing where it's like, you have to find the kind of thing where it's like, I think I lean pretty, you know, I lean very left just from the life I've lived.
Listen,
but I did.
You and I are on the bleeding edge of left until the internet fucking decided that left was some like, until it became a contest. Legitimately, you and I are on the bleeding edge.
Yeah. And then I just did a comedy festival in New York City, but the fans of this podcast that were like based around the festival, I feel like they swung pretty center or right.
Oh, interesting.
But I think it was a thing where it was just like, those kind of fans didn't give a shit. It's like, I went up there and I did my chunk about, my political stuff. And afterwards it was literally huge dudes in sleeveless t-shirts being like, good set, man. Like, it was funny. It was, 'cause it was a thing where it was like, even if it was challenging them, and my buddy went up after me and even kind of went harder, but more kind of make, because it was a lot of guys, or like, you know, there's some women, but mostly guys.
A lot of guys,
a lot of guys there. Like, who traveled from the Midwest or even, you know, not too far west in Pennsylvania to get here. And it was a thing where he went after, he has a bunch of jokes about how his brother has his profile picture on Facebook is a pickup truck, and then his background picture is a different picture of the same pickup truck. Like, and like shitting on him like he's a moron. And these guys are probably the people who do that. And then they were still like, we love this guy.
Sure.
And it's a thing where it's like, I don't know. It's a thing where on the internet, it's like real hard, you're just like waiting for people to get offended, and then if you go to the people and bring them your view but don't talk down to them,
they laugh, it's a thing where they know, like, it's ridiculous, their lives are fucking ridiculous.
But isn't it funny that we do this and this guy noticed it?
Now, with that said, like, I've become really frustrated, Aziz Ansari, right?
Yeah.
Funny guy. He has become like super, super not funny. Like, really wildly not funny.
Yeah.
And not because he's saying anything that, like, oh, I don't find it's not jiving with my fucking views. It's just like there is this weird nerfing of things where there's guys who are addressing, I mean, I understand almost all comedy is addressing the obvious.
Yeah.
But it's sort of like a, I use this as an example. I went to a comedy show in L.A. and Anthony Jeselnik was performing, and the guy before, I've told the story too many times. So if anybody, I just found it such a fascinating look into people. One of the openers started a joke, an abortion joke. A woman in the audience screams, "This is not funny. You don't have a right to talk about it."
Yeah.
Before he finished his joke, which by the end of the joke was fully in line with this woman's politics.
Yeah.
Right? But she screamed in the middle of a joke that then the joke affirmed her view.
Yeah.
But she screamed in the middle of it, which is, I don't even, this is why I don't do comedy, because I couldn't keep my composure for somebody that yelled in the middle of my fucking joke. But he says something rude to her immediately, reflexive.
Yeah.
And then spends the rest of the set backpedaling away from this moment of cruelty that he had towards an idiot, right? Jeselnik gets on, drops like 11 fucking like between abortion and pedophilia jokes like in a row.
Yeah.
And the same audience member says not a fucking word. And the reason was not that Jeselnik's material was not offensive. It was, I mean, it was ironically misogynistic 80% of the time.
Yeah.
But it was because he approached the thing with such utter, I will have you removed, I don't give a fuck. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that there was a deference to it.
Yeah.
Right? And I found that so interesting between, like, the aspiring occasionally say something blue guy to the established, this is my career, I say something fucked up every minute of every day, fuck you. And now I know plenty of people who don't find Anthony Jeselnik funny at all.
Yeah.
But after having seen some new Aziz Ansari material, And again, I don't mean to pick on him. I mean, there's plenty of guys who have gone kind of like Louis C.K. has gone super soft too. But like, I, for my tastes, just needed, literally needed somebody to say, fire the bullets at me, they'll bounce off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and I find that right now, like, it's fascinating to me. Like, he is, I guess you could say, shocking at times, but it's fascinating to me that there's people for whom he's an actual boogeyman because, you know what I mean? And it's like, yo, we don't need to go more than 6 years in the past to see that this is like, this is a thread of comedy that had used to be the majority.
Listening to comedy from a decade ago is shocking.
You're
like, oh, I can't believe people would say this in public.
Right.
Now, just even because of the backlash it would create.
Yeah. And somebody might see that and say what we said about Silver Streak, which is like, oh, you have to accept that it's from a time and that it's ugly and whatever.
Yeah.
But like, to be totally frank with you, and again, I don't do stand up, but like, part of the reason that perhaps I should not is because I don't think stand up is capable of aging. I mean, it all ages poorly. That's the nature of comedy.
Yeah.
It all ages poorly. But for my money, I don't. There is nothing that you can say on a stage within the context of this is a performance in which I am trying to make you laugh.
Yeah.
There is nothing that you cannot say, and there is nothing that I would, like Andrew Dice Clay, who some people think he's quite brilliant, but other people of a certain generation have just always considered him like the lowest form of comedy, right? Like, I mean, that aged poorly, no doubt, as all comedy does. But for the content, no. you know what I mean? Like, his presentation, his delivery, his fixation, it all fucking, it's stale because because he's become a parody. Like, we laugh at that idea.
Yeah.
But, like, is the actual topic of these things something that, like, somebody in 2017 should not talk about? No, that's insane.
Yeah.
You know, it's a fucking bizarre thing to say. So I don't know. I find, like, right now comedy for me, like, your job is very hard because my understanding is that if you want to do it and you want to be successful at it, it's you have to dance a line of, hey, I'm interesting, pay attention to me, but also, hey, I don't need your blog saying that I'm the worst fucking thing that ever happened.
Yeah.
You know what I
mean? Yeah. It's a weird thing of, I think that just as a person, I'm not the person who's out there doing the Jeselnik thing or even trying to push the buttons or something. I don't find that interesting to write about.
Yeah.
So I don't. But it's a weird thing where you're like, okay, I want to become successful. So you got to play the game. So it's like, it's like a weird thing where like friends of mine who are trying to do late night sets where they're like, you have to change you're talking about Subway sandwiches in this joke, but you can't anymore because they give us money during the commercial breaks.
Yeah, no,
and it's a thing where it's like so innocuous where it's just like, this is like, it's like, oh, is this going to change the world if I say Quiznos instead? Where it's like this whole fucking thing. And it's like, I don't, and like coming from the background, being the weird guy who like, I was a punk, like, you know, blah, 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 all this thing where it's like, I don't want to do that shit, but it's like, yo, I've already put X amount of time into doing this. And it's like, do I play the game and become the guy who all of a sudden is wearing the fake McDonald's uniform in the commercial because I need to pay my rent this month?
Well, yeah. I mean, everybody eventually hits the fucking fake McDonald's uniform.
Yeah.
But
the content itself, it's like, oh, I don't want to – I try not to offend this side too much. Or it's like a weird – you have to live in this weird middle where you have no opinions but you also have a unique voice and you're not offensive but you kind of push the boundaries. And it's like this weird – it's like this thing we're all trying to get to doesn't exist.
No. I mean, well, okay. So bringing it back to background stuff, a question I get asked often, here's a plug. I write comic books. Currently, my series There's Nothing There is on shelves. Issue 3 came out a week ago. Go pick it up. Most any good comic store. And the trade will be out in November, and you can definitely pre-order that. There's Nothing There. It's good. It's horror. But back to the point, people ask in interview, did your time in bands and music prepare you for comics at all? And I say it prepared me, and it also is the worst thing for me. It prepared me for collaboration. That part's easy.
Yeah.
Comes naturally. But it really put me in a position where my whole life has been, no, fuck you, I don't want to do that. I will say the thing because you told me not to. You know what I mean? Like, fuck you. And playing a game to become successful is like, and I don't know how stand up works. How many places in New York could you get blackballed from before you couldn't have a career? Is it like under 10?
I think it depends. It really depends on what you want to do.
Okay.
And it's all a weird thing where it's like you could get. It's a weird thing where, like, you could be banned from every club in New York City,
mm-hmm.
but if you're a person who already has
a following, yeah,
you don't fucking care. I'll go do it in Toledo.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. So it's a thing, but it's like if you're trying to get there,
because
it's very easy.
In comics, when you are blackballed from 5 companies, you have no avenue.
Yeah.
No,
you're
whatsoever.
Done.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's very, I think the person with the following is in comedy is very rare. You have to kind of, but it's also a thing where it's like, it all depends whether there's some venues that are really keen on being like, you can't talk about this, or not saying like specific things, but yeah. It's like, if you're the person who is offending people and getting complaints about, you're not getting spots.
Right.
But then there's also places that were like, that's all we want. We want the people that are going up there and getting attacked on Twitter all the time,
yeah.
because we think that that's interesting. And then there's other, so it's like the weird thing where it's like, oh, we're trying to get tourists in here.
Okay.
And we're a chicken finger selling.
Is that the one that wants the benign shit, or is that the one that wants the racy shit?
That's the one. I think the one that wants the benign shit,
yes,
the tourists.
Right.
They want you to come in.
Cruise ship comedy.
Yeah. They want people who couldn't get into Hamilton
Yeah.
to come to their club and buy, you know, 5 drinks and an entree. And then you happen to be there telling your jokes in the background.
Yeah.
And then there's other places where they're like, oh, we want this. And then there's also, it's the same thing as punk. There's like, there's bars in Bushwick that no one, it's all up to the person running the show.
Right.
So that's the thing where it's like, oh, if you book this person and they say some wild shit, it's on your head because you're the one who brought him in there to begin with. Where it's like within comedy clubs, there's so many levels of things where it's like, oh, the booker and then the person who runs the club and like all this different like bureaucratic shit. But it all depends. It's like a weird amalgam of playing in bands where you're like, I have to do everything myself, and then being in an entertainment thing where you're like, I have to wait for these gatekeepers to give me the okay. And it's
levels.
That part I
struggle with that in my career right now. And,
yeah.
Music really made playing. I shouldn't say that. Playing a type of music in which you cannot succeed. There is no victory aside from, was that a fulfilling time that you had?
Yeah.
Has really maladapted me towards career stuff. And
yeah.
Like, I think that, because like every once in a while I'll get an offer from people that think I'm funny that are like, oh, you should do this or do that. And I'm like, you know, it's hard for me to do something and it's hard for me to do something once. And it's hard for me to do something without like becoming involved in it or becoming competitive at it or I mean, aside from the fact that I'm probably old to start a comedy career, who did I see? Like Joan Rivers started at fucking like some advanced age. But the point is that like, I think also like I beat my head against a wall all day in comic books. I think if I was also doing it at night, like trying to get into fucking comedy clubs that are like, I don't know. Didn't you say Chelsea Clinton had a face like a bushel of assholes? And I'm like, I did. And they're like, well, it sounds like you're a Trump supporter. And I'm like, no. He's got a face like a bushel of assholes too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But like, I would not want to be put in that position. I think I would find it very frustrating.
Yeah.
And right now I'm finding stand up to be really, I mean, and again, I'm not out there every night, so there might be dudes doing fucking wild shit that's fucking really fun, but the big guys have gone fully nerf.
Like, yeah.
Like, and I understand it.
You trying know to it? The guy protect the profit margin.
Yeah, exactly. I really do get it, but like, it is, and they probably don't even realize they're doing it, to be honest, but
yeah.
But like, I watch it, and there's like a certain sadness in me, because it's like, you know, when are these dudes going to have their like Richard Pryor crack smoking moment where like sort of the veil falls off,
yeah.
and like it's even darker, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, because these guys that made their name on like wry observations and whatever could not avoid saying something provocative in the past because it's the nature of their job.
Yeah.
But then get to a certain point and it's like, okay, well, you know, the observations are not so wry anymore. They're just sort of like things that we all agree on and whatever. But I hope one of those dudes snaps and it just falls backwards.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. I mean? I think the last thing like that was like Martin Lawrence when he was like waving a gun in the middle of traffic. That was still like 20 years ago.
That was 20 years ago. Yeah. But I want one of these dudes to like I didn't see the Chappelle comeback, right?
Yeah.
Some people said it was funny. Some people said it wasn't. I don't know if you saw the article, for the same outlet, one time in a comedy section, one time in their general entertainment section, the same writer, 2 days apart, wrote that the new Chappelle is a triumph and that the new Chappelle is insulting and puerile and nobody should enjoy it.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay, so I see the nature of your fucking business. You know
yeah,
I mean? Like,
yeah, you just get both sides.
Yeah.
That's it.
So I didn't see it, but one of these people needs to... needs to say, I'm rich enough, fuck you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and I think a lot of dominoes will fall if that happens. I really do. I think that, I think it takes one person being like, listen, man, I'm going to do, and not doing the Dennis Miller or not doing the, you could argue Bill Maher to a degree, although I think Bill Maher is terribly misrepresented by people that fucking just hate his politics. But these are dudes that like, Dennis Miller, not Bill Maher, but like essentially went conservative. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't mean that. I don't mean playing to just the other base.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because his shit is like
Dennis Miller. If you catch some of the 80s shit, is very funny.
Yeah. But the last whatever.
Yeah. The majority of his career at this point.
Yeah.
But the point is that when you're playing to either base. That shit, listen, and people make their money and whatever, and maybe not everybody's about craft or whatever, but that is what does not age well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you saying something scandalous and fucked up, that might look away to somebody, but honestly, you pandering to one side or the other in the moment because you feel like it's advantageous, that's what doesn't age well.
Yeah.
And like, you know, again, this you're talking to a broke guy, so it's like,
yeah, what do I know?
What
from,
the fuck do I know? But
yeah.
I do know what is. I do know what makes me laugh, and it's not being the safest fucking nerd on the block.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
Know what I mean? So anyway, I don't know how we got into that, but
from plugs.
Yeah, but yeah, exactly. But
yeah,
but I don't know. And Aziz Ansari, you got to come out there and be bold, my man.
Just
you
know what I mean? I'll forward this right to him.
Yeah, please stop making me giggle. You know what I mean? With, oh, he's so right. And make me fucking laugh because you said something that fucking like made me feel away.
Yeah.
And that's, again, directed at him, but jokingly, directed at everyone. But yeah, your job sucks in that respect.
Yeah. Thank you so much. It's great. I'm so glad I devoted my entire life to doing it.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. I think that we should give producer Leif a real respite from this and end it here. So Pat did his plugs. Yeah. Listen, grab records from all of his bands. I recently picked up a Garfield themed long sleeve t-shirt for Self Defense Family.
Didn't pay an ounce, didn't pay a dime to the intellectual property holder.
Of course not. No. Why would you?
No, that's what we call theft.
Yeah, and you know, but all art is theft, and we all know that. So it's perfect. So yeah, grab stuff from all his bands, grab his comic books, listen to his podcast. Just, you know, do whatever you got to do with this thing. Rate, review, subscribe. Tell a friend, who cares? Don't email me. I never read it. Cool. @MarketBrucey and everything. Good night. Bye.
Good night.